Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 10th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, today we're going to talk, of course, about the shutdown and the chances of them ending it. But there's another shutdown that is looming on the horizon, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about AI. And what is the end game for this? There are two ways that this can go. Neither of them look very good. One of them you certainly can hedge pretty easily as an individual. We're going to talk about both of those at this juncture of a fourth turning, as Ray Dalio is pointing out yet again. He doesn't use the term fourth turning, but he points back to the last one as an indication of just how bad things are right now. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And joining us remotely today is going to be my son, Travis. Travis, you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm here.
All right, good. So he's going to be joining us and chiming in from Texas. But yesterday, I don't know if you saw this or not, Travis, but there's a lot of hope being sold that this shutdown may soon be ending. And, of course, the person who was laying this out on the Sunday talk shows yesterday was Lindsey Graham. I know it's difficult to listen to Miss Lindsey, but he can talk about this and how they got to stop this shutdown right now. Right.
Take on the government shutdown. Are you expecting any progress today?
Yeah, I think this madness ends today. You know, the political terror
actually did not end yesterday.
Using shutting down airports, people not getting paid. SNAP benefits, going away, is backfiring. They want us to do two things by terrorizing the country. Repeal the $1.5 trillion in savings we had from the Big Beautiful Bill, making Medicaid more efficient. They want to change the prohibition against illegals getting health care that we had in that bill. And they also want us to continue for another year Obamacare, which is the biggest scam on the planet. Under Obamacare, insurance companies' stocks have gone up about 1,000%. Your premiums have doubled. The only winner under Obamacare is insurance companies. They sign people up, they get paid, and these people don't even make claims. 190,000 people were signed up on Obamacare and didn't even know it. So it's a scam for insurance companies. It's not helping affordability. And Donald Trump gave us a breakthrough yesterday. Donald Trump, President Trump said yesterday, I will not accept continuing to give hundreds of billions of dollars to money-sucking healthcare insurance companies under Obamacare. I'm going to give money to the people so they can buy better and cheaper healthcare. Yeah. And that broke the Democrats. Obamacare has been exposed for a scam. It's a reward to insurance companies at your expense.
Yeah, about a dozen years ago.
Open today because cooler heads are prevailing on the Democratic side. Senator Shaheen, Senator Collins, Katie Britt, and many others. I think we'll have a breakthrough today. Then we'll talk about how to change Obamacare to give the money to the people rather than the insurance companies.
Yeah, we saw President Trump's post on Truth Social about that for sure last night. So just to be clear, you think today is the beginning of
yes.
the reopening?
Yes, okay. Today. The government will reopen today. We're not going to talk about health care until it does.
And actually did not.
Donald Trump's going to lead this nation to change Obamacare, where all the money goes to the seven top insurance companies in the world. They have been in America. They have been enriched. From 500 to 1,000% increase in stock, while premiums under Obamacare have over doubled. Okay. Trump's going to end that.
Well, this is something that we can hope that Lindsey Graham does kill, Obamacare, right?
Just kill it. Kill it.
He's always looking for something to kill. This program should be killed. And of course, who knew that Obamacare was going to be a gift to the insurance companies and a burden to the people? Well, we talked about that about 13 years ago, and the Republicans have not done anything to stop it. Didn't do anything to stop it when they had the majority. They didn't do anything to stop it during the first 4 years of Trump at all. Now they're going to get serious about it. And look, again, when we look at the difference in these things, it's always you have to consider not just the end goal, but the means to get there. And the end goal, I agree, got to get rid of Obamacare. Certainly should not be a welfare magnet for people. People here illegally should not be getting government-paid health care. End of story. That's a magnet to bring people in, to live off the government. So I agree with both of those stated ends. However, you notice it has a really demagogic kind of ring to it. We're going to get the money to the people, not to the insurance companies. And it's like, when I hear vague proposals like that, my BS alarms or needles start getting pegged. And so we'll have to wait and see what they're proposing here. But it is something that is, as the Associated Press said, it really is the Democrats who shut down the government. However, if you look at this, when you look at what Trump has done in terms of fighting to keep people from getting food stamps, trying to use that as a lever against the Democrats, rather than, then it makes him look like he is initiating this shutdown and that he is using food for children as a lever against the Democrats. So it's very bad optics, whatever it is. And I think that is the thing that's going to come back to haunt the Republicans, which I wish they would do things like end Obamacare. They have campaigned against it from its inception as an idea, and they failed to do anything about it time and time again. So we can hope that they'll do something about it. It really concerns me, though, when I look at just how bad the public relations have been, just how bad the optics have been. It's like, how do these people even get elected when they're doing this kind of stuff. They've come across so increasingly arrogant.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
An elitist, as I pointed out, the ballroom capitalism, they have to have known how this was going to look, how it was going to be played by the Democrats. And yes, there's a lot of demagoguery involved in it, but there's a ring of truth to it as well. Saturday Night Live had this funny line in their opener.
And people are saying, but sir, how will I afford my Thanksgiving turkey for my family? Well, good news is your family's not coming because all the planes are gone.
Yeah, that's right. These are the two things, right? The welfare food payments as well as the planes, as we pointed out on Friday, as Guard pointed out from the very beginning. Why should the government be involved in running the air traffic controllers? There's absolutely no reason why government should be doing that function. That will be paid for by the airlines as part of the entire industry there. And why is it that the government doesn't want to give that up?
No, Dad, what you need to understand is without the government, there might be some kind of catastrophic thing that happens that causes the airline controllers not to be able to work. And who knows what kind of chaos that might cause.
That's right.
If something like that were to happen, we need the government there to make sure that the air traffic controllers are always at their job.
You know, I think, Travis, going back, I think the Republican reluctance to do this, because even New Zealand did it. New Zealand was very, very socialist, and they hit the wall, couldn't pay their people, even at their foreign embassy staff. They were having to pay for their own food and expenses and run up on their credit cards. And so they very quickly turned in a different direction. They were the first ones to privatize air traffic controllers, and it worked so well. A lot of other countries did it. And as I pointed out last time, you had the first Trump administration. You had a Republican in the Trump White House had supported this to basically break off the air traffic controllers along the lines of how it's being done in Canada. They said, look, this is a working model, and they're not the only countries that have done this. A lot of different countries have done this. But I think there's a reluctance amongst the Republicans to get rid of that control that they had. Because at the very beginning of the Reagan administration, there was a big strike by the air traffic controllers. And he fired a whole bunch of them, saying, you're government employees and you're not going to mess with this. And so I don't know. I think they love the control. I think the Republicans love the control as much as the Democrats love the control. And I think they're reluctant to give that up. So where are we right now? Did they end it yesterday? Well, no. Perhaps they had an agreement to end it yesterday. It wasn't the end. It might have been the beginning of the end. Sounds like Churchill here. But the Senate is voting on the first steps to end the 40-day government shutdown Sunday night after a group of moderate Democrats agreed to proceed without a guaranteed extension of health care subsidies, angering many in the caucus who wanted to continue the fight. So the agreement that they're talking about, where you've had some Democrats defect in order to open up the government, is that they're going to start, you know, paying military and air traffic controllers and other people like that that they've been forcing to work. They're going to pay them, and they will agree to have a vote on what to do about the Obamacare stuff. And there's no guarantee that they're going to keep the Obamacare or fund the Obamacare, just that they will have a future vote on health care.
If you like
subsidies.
Your Obamacare, you can keep your Obamacare.
Yeah, I know. This thing, why are we having this discussion now a dozen years later? I mean, this was all decided, and we knew where this was going to go, and it's gone in that direction, and it has been sustained throughout the first 4 years of the Trump administration. But now we're going to solve it this way. It's got to be done right now. And that always causes issues, you know, whether it's
also,
a green transition or this. Yes.
I'm sure that this was even understood back when Hillary Clinton was trying to take over health care. I'm sure people made all the same arguments and pointed out all the same problems because they're eternal.
Yeah.
They don't change because it's the nature of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be the same throughout time, whether it's 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years into the future.
Yeah.
No matter what, there's not going to be a utopia where these problems don't exist because they are rooted in humanity's nature.
And it's also kind of similar to what we're going to be talking about, which is the neo-Marxism, the idea that we have all the resources that we need. We just have to have the government allocate them fairly. And that's not true. You're going to be rationing along some basis because you do have finite resources in this world. And so that's the fundamental flaw behind all of this stuff, that we have infinite resources and we just need to redistribute the wealth. That is a kind of neo-Marxism that informs all of these socialist big government ideas. And now the Republicans are just as caught up in this because of Trump, the Democrat from New York City. They're just as caught up in this neo-Marxist fantasy about infinite resources. Just take a look, and we're going to take a look at his promises now to cut everybody a $2,000 check. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like Trump version one again? Stimulus checks?
We're really caught between these two sides where the choice is gay race Marxism or imperialist warlike Marxism from the Republicans, who will eventually bring in the gay race communism too.
Well, they're all going to converge. Yeah, they really are going to converge. I mean, we've got Silicon Valley out there now. Even though it is prohibited to do, artificially created kids, you know, the Brave New World hatcheries, they're working on it. And you got Steve Altman, who is involved in this country company doing illegal work. He and his husband, I just realized for the first time that Steve Altman was homosexual, and haven't paid much attention to his personal life. However, all this LGBT stuff really does fold into this satanic agenda to have government control reproduction. It's a total population control, depopulation, and we'll decide how many kids there's going to be. Everything's got to be eventually under their control. They have to control every single thing. It is a satanic agenda, and LGBT provides them with a rationale. If people love LGBT enough, well, then you do it out of compassion. You know, just like you got to have the robots to help the little ladies across the street. You got to have a brain-computer interface in order to be able to help the blind see and the lame walk. They'll always come up with a justification for these nightmare dystopian technologies are coming from, for the most part, DARPA and other organizations like that.
Well, I'm sure most of our viewers have seen it, but the movie Gattaca, anytime we talk about these kinds of things, it reminds me exactly of that. You have these designer babies, and you get to pick and choose the characteristics you want.
Mm-hmm,
and this leaves an entire underclass of people that are now physically in some ways inferior to these, you know, perfect specimens that they have specifically engineered to be smarter, faster, stronger. And where does that leave these people? And it doesn't leave them in a good place, at least in the movie. And chances are not in reality if they get to move towards that future.
Well, you know, we talked many times about Daniel Suarez's
change agent.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, There's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
JJ. And the beginning of that is absolutely brilliant, the way he produces, shows a dialogue between the guy who is still working underground because it's still illegal, but he's doing it just like Sam Altman is doing it. And there's a discussion. There's a husband and a wife. One of them is for it. The other one is reluctant to do it, doesn't want to do it. And so this guy who's selling them on it is making all of the arguments to push them into it in a kind of genetic arms race, saying, if you don't do this, your child is going to be the dumbest kid in society. You know, they're going to be the dregs, and everybody is going to be so much more advanced than them. And not only that, but if you do these genetic changes as a seed change from the very beginning, rather than changing the genetics of a mature individual, if you do it from the very beginning, the seed change DNA, then that change will be permanent, and not only that, but those enhancements will be passed on to their offspring. So you're not just doing it for your child. You're doing it for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, on and on. So he's making all these different arguments, and that's really how they move this into that sphere. You know, Daniel Suarez has always interesting novels in terms of understanding the trends that are coming. So they've got three former governors that have joined this move to end the shutdown. New Hampshire Senator Shaheen, New Hampshire Senator Hassan, and Independent Augustus King of Maine. They're going to vote to reopen the Senate, and yet I think they need five. I don't know how the math works out. I don't know if they had a vote last night. I forgot to look. See if you can find out, Lance, if they had the vote last night. And even the AP says Democrats voted for a shutdown, and now they have to find a way out. Except Trump let them make it all about him with the different moves that he made. Again, it was the biggest PR blunder I think I've ever seen. Taking something that even the Associated Press, I call them Associated Propaganda because they lean so far to the left with the Democrats. And even they say that the Democrats voted to do this. And yet Trump owned it in the worst possible way. And that's really bad news for us. Because he's out there doing the Robin Leach lifestyles of the rich and famous, champagne dreams and caviar. Champagne dreams and caviar wishes. I think that's what it was. So Robin Leach. Yeah.
Looks like they are going to be reconvening today at 11 o'clock. They had some short-term bill yesterday that I'm not sure what that did, if they have to meet again today to decide what it's about.
So, yeah, it's not the end. It's not even necessarily the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning, I guess.
So they advanced.
And which inning are we in now? We're in the 10th or 11th inning, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
They advanced a short-term funding bill that won by a razor thin vote of 60 to 40 is what this article says.
And I think that's going to release money to kids and to military and to air traffic controllers and things like that. America's in the midst of a Republican-made health care crisis, said Schumer. Except he did it, according to the Associated Press, and they're right. He said Americans would suffer immensely and that the crisis will only get worse. Again, Schumer's team is going to turn to create chaos in order to fight an imaginary emergency. Does that sound familiar? Both of the sides are doing this kind of stuff. Democrats have sounded the alarm, said Schumer, and will not give up the fight. Republicans have been working with a group of moderates as the shutdown continued to disrupt flights nationwide, threaten food assistance for millions of Americans, and leave federal workers without pay. And this is the other issue, too. I think it surprised many of us to see just how extensive and permanent this welfare system has become. It's no longer a safety net. It's now the foundation of a welfare state. 42 million people. And more than the population of many industrialized countries, I think including Canada, are all dependent on government for food. I don't like that situation. I don't agree with that. I think that's a very, very bad idea. It only serves government. And yet, if you have that kind of a situation, you can't just change it overnight. There has to be a transition period here, in a sense. You have to, when you just go cold turkey on things like this, when people are addicted to it, that's a big issue. And it's my criticism of these tariffs going back and forth, back and forth. And when you look at what's going on in the SNAP program, they changed it 5 times last week. What was going to happen? Same kind of stuff we have with the tariff. There is no plan, folks. You want to trust the plan? Trump doesn't have a plan. His plan is chaos and disruption. It isn't a plan. And when you have spent decades creating a supply chain that is distributed all around the world, you're not going to be able to rip that up in just one move. And it's complete idiocy to try to do that. Same thing is true of the welfare state. I mean, they've been putting this thing in since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society back in the 60s. 60 years of this. And you're just going to cut people off cold turkey. And remember, there's a lot of kids that are on this as well. So many Democrats have warned their colleagues against giving in, arguing they can't end the fight without an agreement to extend the health care subsidies. So they are really trying to, you know, the longer you leave something in, you know, like Obamacare, it's been left in now for a dozen years. And the longer you leave something in like that, the harder it is to get rid of it. And so it is going to be a difficult thing. And it's going to require, if the Republicans don't want to lose everything and turn all of it over to the Marxist Democrats, they got to be a little bit smarter about the optics. And they are boneheaded stupid. They're about as savvy as George Santos when it comes to what they're telling people. Democrats have now voted 14 times not to reopen the government, says the Associated Press, as they have demanded the extension of tax credits that make coverage more affordable for health care plans offered under the so-called Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Republicans have refused to negotiate on health care subsidies while the government is closed. The agreement would fund parts of the government. That's what they agreed to last night, I think. Food aid, veterans programs, and the legislative branch, among other things, and extend funding for everything else until the end of January. So the legislative branch, in other words, Congress voted to give money to itself, of course. It would take up Republicans on the longstanding offer to hold a future vote on health care subsidies, with that vote occurring by the middle of December, they said. The deal would reinstate federal workers who have received reduction in force or layoff notices, reimburse states that spent their own funds to keep federal programs running during the shutdown. And while all this was going, Trump was demanding penalties and for the states that had disbursed the SNAP.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Payments based on two court decisions saying that that had to be done. And then the Supreme Court over the weekend reversed that. And now Trump is demanding, and people in the Trump administration is demanding, not only that that be paid back, but that they be penalized for using state money to give people for the SNAP. That's why I say it. The way he has played this is just the most belligerent, boneheaded moves I've ever seen from anybody. It would also protect against future reductions in forces through January, people said, and guarantee that all federal workers would be paid once the shutdown is over. Republicans released the final legislative text of three full-year spending bills on Sunday. That legislation keeps a ban on pay raises for lawmakers, but it boosts their security by $203 million in response to increased threats. There's also a provision championed by Mitch McConnell to prevent the sale of some hemp-based products. Old Mitch McConnell, he's still out there trying, that's the war that he wants to fight, the drug war and hemp. Again, George Washington grew hemp. We're not just talking about pot. He's out there trying to stop that. And of course, Rand Paul, also in Kentucky, has been pushing the legalization of hemp, but Mitch McConnell is dead set against it. Republicans only need five votes from Democrats to reopen the government, so a handful of senators could end the shutdown, with only the promise of a later vote on health care. Around 10 to 12 Democrats have been involved in the talks, with three people familiar with the agreement saying they had enough votes to join with the Republicans and to pass the deal. Even if the Senate were to move forward with funding legislation, getting to a final vote could take several days if Democrats who oppose the deal object and draw out the process. The first vote came last night, Sunday evening, to proceed with consideration of the legislation. So that's where they are now, but it's still going to take several days before they do this. There's no guarantee that the Affordable Care Act subsidies, Obamacare, would be extended if Republicans agree to a future vote on health care. Mike Johnson said he will not commit to a health care vote. Again, he's going to wind up, if he's not going to even, they could vote it down. He's got a majority there. But if he's not going to hold a vote, if he's going to hold it up, like he's been holding up the Epstein document vote, and remember, as Thomas Massie pointed out, he said they've had shutdowns in the past, but they've never had, along with it, a House recess. He said we've always been here when there's been a recession. Why is that happening now? Well, Mike Johnson doesn't want the House meeting. He doesn't want to swear in the Democrat who's going to be the final vote to make sure that the Congress says you've got to release the Epstein documents. He's trying to stop all that. And I guess he would like to keep it the entire country held hostage to the Epstein documents, because if he wants to throw his monkey wrench into the whole works and say, well, we won't even vote on Obamacare, even when we're in the majority, you know, we'll wait and stall, and then the Congress will flip over to the Democrats in the midterm, and nothing will happen with Obamacare yet again, thanks to Mike Johnson and the cover-up for the Epstein files. So they want new limits on who can receive the subsidies, and argue that tax dollars for the plans should be routed through individuals. And again, it's not clear exactly what this means. You know, when Lindsey Graham describes it, as I said before, sounds like sheer demagoguery. We'll have to wait and see. Consequences of the shutdown are compounding as the U.S. airlines are canceled more than 2,000 flights on Sunday for the first time since the shutdown began. There were more than 7,000 flight delays, and Sean Duffy said on CNN that air travel ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday will be reduced to a trickle if the government doesn't reopen soon. So more than two dozen states have warned in terms of the SNAP program of catastrophic operational disruptions as the Trump administration is demanding that states undo benefits paid out under judges' orders last week. And as far as I can tell, this would even apply to state money that was done and to punish them for putting out state money, even though they had a court order. So what I'm saying, they can't be gracious winners on any of this stuff because they're following a very ungracious winner himself, Donald Trump. Trump has completely restructured the GOP to guard pedophiles, to be belligerent, to pick fights, domestic and foreign. And the Republicans are going down that path continually. So Capital Area Food Bank, that provides more than 8 million meals, said that that is a 20% increase in terms of what they have seen before. So, again, we can look at this situation and we can see that there's some really, really deep issues in terms of how large the welfare state has become. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And when we come back, I want to take a look at some of the details that are happening with the shutdown and if there's any real reform that's being talked about. Has anybody besides Reason and a few libertarians brought up the idea that we need to get the air traffic controllers out of the control of Congress? Congress is constantly shutting down, and what that is going to continue to do is to shut down transportation. And look, it's not just passengers. It's also freight that's going to have an effect on. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Interested in a curated list of the finest classical music? Find it now at APSradio.com.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, welcome back, and Travis is joining us from Austin. He's gone back to, he and his wife and young son have gone back to see family there for a week or so, so he's going to be joining us remote. And you have some comments there, Travis, I think.
That's right, I do, from Bronx Stomper 111. It says, like Zoe said on Saturday night, if the courts and jails are still open, the government isn't shut down. And
that's a real function, right?
And to keep us locked up and controlled.
Yeah, that I think is one of the interesting things. One of them is to see just how many people are on welfare. And then the other one is to see that other than handing out checks and, you know, the functions, and of course that includes paying the federal employees, but the functions that most of these things are things that we don't really want or need, except for air traffic control. And there's absolutely no reason why the government needs to be involved in that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jim 7, talk about air traffic control, says maybe airlines could take TSA under their wing also.
That's right. And that's then right. And then drop them at 30,000 feet, maybe.
Yeah, watch how quickly a company that actually has to make money gets rid of the TSA when they see what they're actually doing and how useful they are.
That's right.
Nope, can't afford this debacle. Yeah. Nibiru 2029, says, quoting LBJ, says, give them welfare and we'll have them voting Democrat for decades. Not
That's
quite
right.
An exact quote, but, you know, close. And I wouldn't say the exact quote.
That's Steve, right. And the welfare started out very, very small under him. Yeah. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Steve Evs says 2016, give the Rebloodlicans the Senate. We'll get rid of Obamacare. It never happened. No, they promise a lot. And when do they deliver? That's I have right. yet to see it in my lifetime. That's maybe, right. maybe if I live long enough.
Well, they have these wedge issues, right? And again, that's more than just a wedge issue, but you know, they have these issues that they take ownership of. Vote for us, we'll fix this. You know, we'll fix Obamacare, we'll fix the border, and so forth and so on. And they never do it because they don't want those issues to go away. They want to give you a reason to vote for them later on, and people will still do it because it's like, well, I know they didn't get it done last time, but you know, the Democrats will make it even worse if I leave them there. So they it works for them.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that. Very clearly with something like the NRA. What has the NRA actually accomplished during its lifetime? You know, they
Well, the NRA has been very compromising on a lot of these things, like the bump stock stuff, for example. They wanted to show that they were on the winning side. They didn't oppose it. Gun owners of America opposed it. And then finally, then after that, after it went through, and Trump did gun control by executive order, then he did another one. He did the pistol brace thing. He did that before Biden did it. And then he pulled it back because it was that period of time between the election and January the 6th, and the NRA finally objected to the pistol brace. But the precedent had been established. And so you had both the Gun Owners of America and the NRA push back against the pistol brace, but NRA took a pass on the bump stock, and that's where the precedent was set.
Yeah, that's the comments I have for now.
Well, I got one here. Opossum King says, hold your MAGA hat out at some random street corner. and Nibiru 2029 says, Emperor Trump's agenda to destroy the U.S. financial system is still 100% on track. Absolutely. And a big part of this, again, is the chaos and the uncertainty. You know, whether you're a farmer working or whether you are somebody who's on food stamps, you don't know what's going to happen at any given moment because Trump doesn't, you know, I don't think he's got a plan. But if he had a plan, he wouldn't want to tell you what it was because he rules by chaos. And there was actually an article how absurd at Zero Hedge saying this has helped him a great deal with China because they don't know what he's going to do because this unpredictability has helped him with his negotiation. It's like, okay, great, if that's the only thing that matters. But if the economy matters, if it matters that you're driving people out by the masses, the small businesses and small farms, you're killing them, but you get your deal through, good for you. What is your real objective here? What is the end? Well, the U.S. government can't even, as I thought about over the weekend, we had to put some gas in the car. We were getting kind of worried about it, and the car that had been sitting here for a long time. And I thought, well, I guess we got enough to go, but let's put some gas in it. They have so broken the gas cans even with government regulations. I mean, you can't use this thing. When you try to tilt it up and put it in, you can't get it to pour because they got so many different safety features on it. It's like, what do we say about a government that can even break something as simple as a gas can container and make it so it doesn't work anymore? Should we let them run everything in the economy? Well, if we do, it's going to go the same way that Trump's casinos, half dozen casinos, went, right down the drain. Well, anxiety over the government shutdown has pushed consumer sentiment down to a near-record low. The Consumer Sentiment Index fell to 50.3, down from 53.6 the prior month, the lowest level since June 2022, which was the lowest level on record. So, folks, let me just translate that for you, since MarketWatch doesn't seem to be able to figure that out. It's not just near a record low. It is a record low. The record low was June 2022, and this is the lowest, well, this is near that, I should say. So it's not exactly a record. I should correct myself here. Wall Street Journal had expected that it would slip to 53.0, but it's slipped to 50.3. So significantly lower, and it dropped much faster. They thought it would drop just a little bit. This month's decline in sentiment was widespread with one key exception. Consumers who had a large portion of holdings in the bubble stock market. So I guess, how low will it go when the stock market bubble bursts? That was another thing we did over the weekend. We looked at, went back and watched again, The Big Short. What a brilliant film that is. It is an amazing story and brilliantly put forth because it's a real technical thing. You know, how do you do this? And so you got these guys talking about what's going on in the market, and they'll do an aside. You know, they'll have a chef, Anthony Bourdain, who's now passed on. He explains this repackaging of mortgages and everything, kind of like day-old fish into a soup or something. And at another point, they go, so here to explain how this thing is working, here is Margot Robbie in a bubble bath. You don't see anything, but she's is like, let me get your attention here because you're going to have these, you know, two talking heads of guys talking about numbers, but instead we'll have Margot Robbie put out this. So I thought it was really brilliant the way that they did the asides and to try to explain the technical sides of it. But it is something to go back and to think about yet again, by the way.
Both that movie and Margin Call are dramas about the 2008 market crash, and both are very good. I think Margin Call paints the investors and stock market people as a little bit too, they don't paint them as having any culpability. They paint them as kind of being like, oh, wow, gosh, this is happening. How could this have happened? Oh, yeah. It takes one analyst to actually go in and, you know, he's a genius. He's got a giant brain. He used to be a rocket scientist. So it takes him to figure it out. All these other people were just clueless. They weren't out there trading your future away knowing this was going to happen and then banking on the fact the government would come in and save them. Yeah. It was just an accident, guys. They're both good. Margin Call, in my opinion, a little less good because of that factor.
Well, that's what I liked about The Big Short was they make it very clear that you've got, what was it? It's like three different groups of people who sussed this out, saw what was coming, and then they placed their bets, right? And it's time sensitive. That's why I said when Michael Burry, who was one of the key people in all this thing, when he has put over $1 billion again, about 80%, I think, of his current holdings to short the current market, to short the AI bubble, you need to pay attention because timing is everything. And in this, all the mortgages started going bad, and yet the ratings companies continued to keep the ratings up higher. And so they weren't getting their money because it was a bet against the insurance companies that were insuring this stuff. And so they were playing with the, it was absolute fraud. And that's what you see all three of these characters reacting to this. You know, Michael Burry is having to pay tens of millions of dollars a month, I think, to keep his puts in there, and having to pay covering charges for that. It's costing him, and it's all fraudulent. And you have these other ones go in and confront people publicly, confront regulatory agencies and credit rating agencies privately, and say, you know this is bad. How can you see all these mortgages defaults exploding, and yet you continue to raise the credit rating of these instruments? How can you explain that? Well, if I don't do it, you know, at Standard & Poor's, then Moody's will do it down the street. They'll just take their business down there. So you know that you're doing this. You know that it's corrupt. And it was everybody was in on it. The banks were in on it. The insurance companies were in on it. The rating credit rating agencies were in on it. The government was in on it, of course. And so they show that. They show how everybody is in on it, even when it comes to the SEC. At one point, they go into this girl who's with the SEC and says, you're going to do something about this, right? She's not concerned at all. As a matter of fact, she's making connections and schmoozing people at this party that are going to hire her in private industry when she leaves the SEC. And so that was the key thing about The Big Short. It wasn't just how did this happen and what were these, you know, ridiculous instruments that they had created, but also it really super highlighted the corruption, the institutional corruption. And so anyway, the outlook has been gloomy for a while due to concerns about job and inflation. Despite these concerns, consumer spending has still held up. People are still borrowing money, just like the government that they keep voting for. And so the Supreme Court issued an emergency order to block the full SNAP food aid payments. As I said, you had two judges who looked at this and said, well, no, this actually is an emergency this time, unlike everything else that Trump has done. Trump is declaring everything to be an emergency that is not an emergency. There's no emergency about fentanyl coming across the border from Canada, but he tried to use that as a basis for doing his arbitrary tariffs that he continues to change all the time. But this really is an emergency. And it's an emergency, a contingency for which they had the emergency stuff there. So you had two judges say, no, you got to release that. And so they did an emergency hearing with the Supreme Court. And interestingly enough, wouldn't have expected her to do it, but Ketanji Brown Jackson issued the order late on Friday to pause the requirement to distribute full SNAP payments until the appeals court could rule. So this is kind of a procedural thing. In other words, they're not ruling necessarily, I think, on the merits of the case, but this is one judge saying, well, we're not going to do anything until the appeals case is heard. So she put a hold on that. And when you look at this now, this has allowed the Democrats to, this is their other hobby horse. They want to pack the Supreme Court. And James Carville said, when the Democrats take control, and they're going to do it really soon, he said, especially because of the boneheaded way the Trump administration is doing the PR, the public relations on this shutdown. When the Democrats get back into power, we're going to use it to pack the Supreme Court. Listen to him.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. A Democrat is going to be elected in 2028. You know that. I know that. It's going to be a Democratic House. It's going to be a Democratic Senate. The Democratic president is going to announce a special transition advisory committee on the reform of the Supreme Court, that we could have our third branch of government has lost the faith and trust of the American people, and his president would are going to do everything along. He's going to appoint a blue ribbon, maybe Judge Luttig and the dean of the, you know, just the usual fucking suspects, all right? And they're going to recommend that the number of Supreme Court justices go from 9 to 13. That's going to happen, people. That's going to happen to you. They're going to win. They're going to do some blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists, and they are going to recommend 13, and a Democratic Senate and House are going to pass it, and the Democratic president is going to sign it, because they have to do an intervention so we can have a Supreme Court that the American people trust again. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And I would bet a lot of money that that's what's going to happen.
Again, James Carville, and although I disagree with him totally on policies, I think he has he's got the idea of strategy, political strategy. Why 13? We'll just stop and think about it. We got three liberal judges that are reliably liberal on everything. If you add another four, that gives you seven. Seven out of 13 is your majority right there. So they're going to add just enough so that the Democrat president in 2028 can appoint four.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our judges to give them a majority. That's the way this thing is going to work at some point in time, even if it doesn't happen in 2028. But if they keep making the kind of mistakes that they've been doing in terms of the means at which they're pursuing ends, which I would agree with, but the means in which they're doing it are really awful. And then there's other things. You know, Trump is demanding that the Senate end the filibuster so they could end the lockdown. That's the only thing that you can think of to do. You're going to set a very bad precedent so that you can get immediate relief? Well, yes, of course, because that's the way this government operates. That's the way all of American society operates. We're going to go into massive debt because we need it right now, right? You see this when we come up with the AI. You got Steve Altman. That is first. Anyway, at OpenAI.
Sam Altman.
Thank you. Who is Steve Altman? I think he's a director, maybe. Anyway, I didn't think the first name was right. Anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, they want to get it and they want to get it now. And they don't care how much debt they go into. They don't care how much debt the government goes into. The government obviously doesn't care. But it could have this immediate satisfaction. I want to change everything and I want to change it now. And I don't care what I destroy in the process. We are going to move fast and we're going to break things and we're going to go into debt. That is the American zeitgeist right now at the moment. And that is going to destroy this country. It's already largely destroying us. And it is going to be the thing that kills us. I want it now, and I want it, and I don't care how what it costs. Yes, go ahead.
And, of course, the faster they move and the more things they break, the better it actually is for them because it allows them to turn around and say, well, now we need more government. Now we need another department to come in and fix this other thing. We need more control over your life.
That's right.
It gives them this continual excuse to creep forward and forward and forward. It's how they operate. The worse they are at their jobs, the more they're able to come in and say, well, I know we did it bad and wrong last time, mm-hmm. but if you just mm-hmm. give us more, we promise it won't be like that again. We promise this time we'll do it right. But, you know, we've got so little time and everything's so bad, you've got to just sign up right now. Because if we do nothing, it's going to be infinitely worse than if we do something. You got to let us do something.
That's right. And they do want to be able to rule by emergency and fiat. It's not just Trump. It was George W. Bush who said that famously. Said, you know, well, I kind of wish I was like the Chinese. I can just tell everybody to do it and they have to do it. And that's what Trump is doing with the emergencies. And he puts them on and he says, okay, now stop me if you can. And we see that on the left as well. I mean, look at Justin Trudeau talking about how his favorite country, after Canada, of course, he has to say Canada's his favorite country, but his favorite country was China because he could just do whatever they needed to. And the specific case he was talking about was the climate MacGuffin, except we saw him doing whatever he wanted to shut down free speech during the COVID MacGuffin as well.
Also, so think about that. Justin Trudeau is more, at least, he acts more patriotic than Miriam Adelson is. When asked, Justin Trudeau specifies, well, Canada's my first, but, you know, if I had to pick another, it would be Cuba. Miriam Adelson is just like, nah, it's Israel. It's Israel. Yeah. I'm not even going to pretend.
And Trump is fine with that.
And the thing is, I don't think Trudeau actually likes Canada at all. It's not his favorite country. It's probably his least favorite country, mm-hmm. given what he's doing to it. Mm-hmm. And same with all these politicians that say America is their favorite country.
That's right.
At least Adelson was being a little bit more honest about it.
Yeah, that's right. And Trump will just tell you right out the front, you know, hey, yeah, we're going to put Israel first. Officials in more than a half dozen states confirm that some SNAP recipients have already issued full November payments, been issued full November payments on Friday. And so this is something I think after that happened, Trump got angry about it. And I think that has something to do with his $2,000 stimulus check, bunch of posts that he put out about that. Because if you stop and think about it, right, how are you going to claw? That's, you know, people say, well, hey, we paid out these SNAP benefits. We can't get them back. All right, well, I'm going to penalize you somehow for doing that. And, again, trying to maximize the pain is the way that the public is going to see this and understand it. And I think it's accurate. And so he looks at it and says, okay, so you can't claw this back. What if I give people tariff money, say that it's from the tariff, and then they overthrow the tariffs? How are we going to get that money back? Because they're already looking at a tremendous amount of money that has to be given back if the Supreme Court shuts down the tariffs for which Trump had no authority to impose them. And so that's a big argument to say that you, a pragmatic argument as opposed to a legal argument. And Scott Bessent, the Soros soy boy, has been making that argument publicly and to the Supreme Court. He was there at the Supreme Court, although he didn't speak. But saying this is going to create all kinds of chaos if we got to refund the money to countries and companies on the tariffs if you overturn this. And so then they want to extend the tentacles of this thing by giving it to individuals to make sure they can't be overturned. But never forget that this is the largest tax increase that we've ever seen. This is bigger than the previous largest tax increase by a huge amount. What FDR did in terms of tax increase back in 1942, I think it was something like $10 or $20 billion dollars, and now it is equivalent in today's dollars to $200 billion. And yet you had Caroline Leavitt say, we've made $600 billion in revenue. So that would be three times the previous largest tax increase from FDR. That's why I say Trump is a Democrat socialist who wants to own, have the government own countries, companies. He's taking positions and Intel and others, a rare earth company as well. He's taking positions in these different companies. And we're going to talk more about this when we get into artificial intelligence. He's basically adopting the Chinese model of government ownership. It is not a good thing for us. We're not going to own anything. You and I, as taxpayers, we're going to be paying for it. It's going to be public expense and private profits. And it is a corrupt form of fascism, really, and socialism that the Chinese have been indulging in for quite some time. It makes a lot of people into billionaires. You know, people like Steve Bannon's mentor, Guo. Forget what his actual name is, but he goes by Guo, G-U-O. And they know how that works. You can get become a billionaire overnight with that kind of corruption. And of course,
We've kind of seen that the United States has been a very socialist country when it comes to businesses anyway. They're just being more open about it now. Anytime a large enough business gets into trouble, they run out hat in hand to the government and say, hey, we screwed up. We were just talking about the 2008 crash. That's what they did. They blew up the markets. They lost everyone's money. They went to the government and said, you really can't let us fail, because if you do, what's going to happen? You just got to hand over the money. And none of that went to the American people. None of that went to help alleviate their suffering, which they didn't cause.
Yeah.
They were a bystander in this. They had their money taken and, you know, it disappeared.
Yeah.
But these large companies got billions upon billions of dollars and made out like bandits.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, and so, you know, when we look at this, that's what we're going to be talking about with AI. How you've got Sam Altman and others are saying we've got to have the government be there to help us to pay for these capital expenditures that we're going to be doing. We don't have the money. You know, we had that podcast where Sam Altman is talking about that, and he had a guy who was an investor called him out on that. Said, you got something like $14 billion in revenue. How are you going to do $1.4 trillion in capital expenditures over the next couple of years? There's a big gap here that doesn't make any sense. And his response was a non sequitur. It's like, well, hey, if you don't want your stock, there's a lot of other fools out there who will buy it from you. The greater fool theory of the stock market bubble.
I'll have you know there's one born every minute, and I could sell it like that.
That's right. So, you know, this is where we're going. And you talk about the banks were too big to fail, so they got bailed out. Well, guess what? Artificial intelligence companies are bigger now. They quietly passed the entire banking sector in terms of especially the stock market that's going on. And so, of course, the government is going to bail them out if it bailed out the banks. And we're going to see all that stuff happening again. Meanwhile, food lines are what we're going to see. These are food lines in one particular place. Look, there's people standing in the rain, and the line goes forever around and around the block. This is just one food bank that is there. But it also happens on the military bases as well. Look at this. This is on an Air Force military base in Las Vegas, Nellis Air Force Base, on Friday. And people put this up, and you can see all the people lined up at the Air Force Base at a food to get food bank. And they told, as we pointed out on Friday, soldiers that had been stationed in Germany were told to go to German food banks to get food. You talk about stretching the empire too thin, isn't it? You know, Napoleon said an army travels on its stomach. Well, we can't even afford to pay our own people. We can't get organized enough to do that. It's pretty absurd what is happening with all this. So you have several states that jumped in and gave the SNAP benefits to people. Wisconsin, Oregon, Hawaii jumped in and paid fully for the month of November. Trump is furious about that, and he wants to, because it's going to be hard to get that back, and he wanted to use it as a leverage. Officials in California, Kansas, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Washington State also said they moved quickly to issue full SNAP benefits on Friday because of the two court decisions. And again, what happened is there was an appeal, and to get a quick decision, they went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, we're going to stop these judges' orders until the case can be heard by the appeals court. So it's something of a victory for Trump, but still, it's not permanent. I mean, it could go back the other way, but he wants to penalize the states who spent their own money giving this to people. In both cases, the judge ordered the government to use emergency reserve fund that has more than $4.6 billion to pay for SNAP for November, but gave it leeway to tap other money to make full payments, which cost between $8.5 and $9 billion each month. That's why I said the magnitude of the welfare state, I think, is an eye-opener for many of us who have not been keeping tabs on how big it has grown. 42 million people, and I think about 20% of children are getting fed through the welfare program. On Monday, the administration said it would not use the additional money, saying it was up to Congress to appropriate the funds for the program, and that other money was needed to shore up other child hunger programs. So again, they're putting their foot down, and it is not playing well. So as Thanksgiving travel looms, airport chaos threat could force Washington to end the shutdown. And I think that's exactly what's going on. I mean, that was the joke from Saturday Night Live that I played earlier.
And people are saying, but sir, how will I afford my Thanksgiving turkey for my family? Well, good news is your family's not coming because all the planes are gone.
Yeah, that's right. When the planes are gone, that's what ends the shutdown. Previous longest shutdown, which was in the prior Trump administration, ended when you started having people, air traffic controllers, calling in sick after going for a little over a month without pay. This time, they managed the shutdown better. So they're able to keep juggling and spinning the plates for a little bit longer, but it is finally taking hold because the air traffic controllers in an even larger amount now are having to take secondary jobs in order to feed their family because their primary job is an air traffic controller. They're not getting paid, so they're having to go out as Uber drivers or whatever, and showing just how broken the system is there. The record-long government shutdown will end once FAA-mandated flight reductions start forcing airport closures. And, of course, that happened over the weekend. And double-stacking the planes right now, we're taking off, but later flights are going to be hurting worse. Once airports close, this thing ends. We don't all fly private like the people in Congress, said Brian Sullivan. And on Friday, the FAA told major airlines to reduce daily flights by 4% at 40 major airports, rising to 6% closures by tomorrow and 10% by Friday. So they're rapidly shutting everything down. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy warned that the flight reductions could exceed 20% if the government shutdown were not resolved in the weeks ahead. By Saturday, 42 major airports had disrupted flights in 12 cities. It's only going to get worse. 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, and you're going to see air traffic will be reduced to a...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Trickle, said Duffy. Once airports close, this thing ends again, as Brian Sullivan said, because we don't all fly private planes like many in Congress. More than 2,200 flights canceled on Sunday alone amid a nationwide air travel disruption and 7,500 flights delayed. So it continues to escalate very rapidly. Some travelers are completely in panic as they're trying to figure out how they're going to get home, or if they got to go to a wedding or something like that, how they get back. And so FlightAware, you might want to pull this up, Lance, shows the map of, they call it the misery map of closures. They've got a chart there, and they've got circles showing where the most closures are. And so, again, understand...
I'm glad to live in a time where we have something called the misery map to show us how how life is going in certain aspects.
Well, I think since 2001, whenever I think of airlines, I think of misery. It has just been... It's like a metastasizing cancer, what they have done. And look at how bad it got in 2020. they apply all of their pressure to the airports. And it's the sort of thing, it's not going to be limited to that. I mean, they're just using them as a to move the Overton window in people's minds, as well as to practice their tactics, because TSA is not about airplanes. It's about transportation in general. And we've seen that they have made moves, brief moves in the past, to push into trains and buses and things like that. But they will continue to do that. That's why they want to ban private cars and have all cars under the control of corporations, big corporations that are going to work with them. So
what's really incredible is how so many people younger than myself have no concept of flight as anything but this tremendous hassle, this gigantic nuisance. To them, that's just normal. They have never experienced, you know, a pre-9/11 world where flying wasn't a nightmare. You could go to the airport. You could, you know, it was still crowded, but it wasn't this, you know, pantomime where you have to sit there and pretend like, okay, me taking my shoes off is an important part of the procedure. Me walking through the X-ray cancer machine, very important.
It's like that comedy, The American Carol, where they're making fun of all the stuff. And it, I mean, that movie wasn't out for more than a year before they did do The Underwear Bomber, and basically, you know, practically making you take your underwear off for all practical purposes, you know, to go through the scanners. I remember when they first instituted any kind of security checks, and that was in response to some of the Cuban hijackings and things like that. But that's very simple. I mean, just put your bag on a conveyor belt and let the thing run through. It wasn't the kind of invasive type of thing that we have now. So, yeah, it's moving the Overton window. Yeah.
I always remember that flight we took where, you know, the TSA guy had been very, you know, friendly, you know, pretty kind. But then you said, well, we're going to opt out. And the switch that flipped as soon as he heard we were opting out. I've been so nice to you. I've been good. And you're going to do this to me?
Yeah.
And he immediately becomes just this officious, angry little bureaucrat.
Yeah, the thing that really set him off was when I came back over there. You got separated from us, and you were going through separately. And started filming the process, and he told me not to. And I said, "Now I'm allowed to do this." And that's when he really lost it.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's just, again, the government has this whole mentality of, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to hide, why would it matter if we're filming you at all times? But the second you flip that back around on any of their employees, watch how they scream. Watch how they moan. Oh, you're oppressing me. How could you film what I'm doing?
Well, I'll tell you and the audience at the same time, in terms of driving a car, here in Tennessee, they've just had a major scandal where they found out the Highway Patrol has got quotas in terms of arresting drunk drivers, and they've been arresting people who are completely sober and charging them with being a drunk driver. So I just want to give you a word of warning, Travis, as you're coming back through it. It was picked up by, I think, a station out of Memphis. They had several people went to them and made the case that they were arrested and charged with drunk driving, and they were not drinking at all. And then they had two highway patrol officers, former, I think they left, blowing the whistle on it, saying that they've got quotas that they want them to do about 50 a month. And so it's crazy what is happening. And this is just government out of control, again, trying to make a justification for their jobs, just like TSA.
Nice that those two former highway patrol officers found their integrity once they had nothing left to lose and were no longer employed there.
That's right. Yeah, I've talked many times to law enforcement against prohibition, and it's all judges and prosecutors and police officers, former, now left or retired or whatever. Now they tell us, right? They won't tell us while they're there. But that's the way this thing always works out.
Of course, some of that could be they are former because they had a conscience.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the whole test of a institution is if they get rid of the corrupt people in it. Well, they're getting rid of the non-corrupt people. So it's
that's right.
A lot
that's
worse.
Right. Well, again, as I said, it's not just the passenger flights, okay? This is also our distributed supply chain. You know, our supply chain is distributed, you know, not just internationally, but even within the United States. And so domestic flights in terms of transportation are going to be taking a big hit. And this is on top of the fact that because that UPS plane fell apart on takeoff, that horrific accident. I don't know if you saw it. Should have gotten the clip for it, but it's just somebody's dash cam recorded it, and you see this wall of fire as the thing is like going across the ground because the plane engine fell off as it was going, killed a lot of people on the ground as well. And so as a result, that make of plane, McDonnell Douglas MD-11 planes, have been grounded. And that's a big part of the fleet of UPS and Federal Express. So those have been grounded. And then in addition to that, you've got the other restrictions that are there. So it's going to impact a lot of shipping and transportation, stuff like that, right before the big retail issues of Christmas time coming. And so that has nothing to do with the air traffic control, but it just exacerbates it as well. And they're saying the one saving advantage is that a lot of the flights for UPS and FedEx take place at night where they don't have the restrictions on the air traffic controllers. But I can imagine that would begin to happen as well. I mean, you know, if you can't pay the air traffic controllers, they've got to eat somehow and earn their way.
I was thinking maybe they're saying, well, thankfully most of these happen at night, so hopefully there won't be someone around to record the next one.
Well, they weren't around in that case either. It was a dash cam recording, you know, because a lot of the dash cams, whenever there's some kind of a vibration, I bet there was a vibration when that thing was hitting the ground. It was fairly close, and you know, if there's some kind of a jerk or something like that, the camera kicks on, it starts to record, and that's where they got that footage. So one guy who's a supply chain management professor at Syracuse said that the 10% flight reduction, the reduction in flight capacity and the grounding of these planes is a 1-2 punch for cargo carriers. He thinks it could take weeks for them to get the MD-11 fleets back in service. They're going to have to do a thorough review of the condition of the planes because evidently there's some kind of a design issue if the engine is going to fall off like that. Both FedEx and UPS said many of the flights take place at night outside the restricted window. Both of them said they also had contingency plans to protect shipments of critical items like pharmaceuticals, medical devices, and essential manufacturing drugs. So you'll still be able to get your vaccines. Good news is we can still inject all the kids. They said that trucks are going to be called on to move things quickly, and there'll be a shift with that. And they said, well, actually, you know, we've gotten pretty good at meeting these challenges for short-term disruptions within the last 5 years. Yeah, a lot of dramatic supply chain swings. So this won't translate to a simple one-to-one loss of capacity everywhere. Why have we had these dramatic supply chain swings over the last 5 years? Well, beginning with the Trump lockdown, and of course, Biden did his best to carry all that along. It's government in general messing up everything that it gets involved in.
And of course, they're going to be offsetting the danger of the lack of air traffic controllers by handing this over to these truckers that don't speak English and having them bring the danger on the roads instead of the skies.
Yeah, I know. What a mess we are in, aren't we? It truly is amazing. So the Trump administration, again, is going to try to snap defeat out of the jaws of victory, demanding that states undo the SNAP payouts. How are they going to do that? And warning of a catastrophic impact. The Trump administration is playing this really stupidly. They highlight the confusion, the uncertainty caused by the Trump administration's shifting stance on the issue. So, again, when there is a real emergency, they declare that it's not an emergency. And when it's not an emergency, he makes it up so he can do whatever he wishes. So the Deputy Undersecretary of Agriculture warned that states could face penalties if they did not comply. It was unclear if the directive applies to states that used their own funds to keep the program alive or to ones that were just relying on federal money entirely. The Department of Agriculture would not respond to AP to clarify that. Republican Senator Murkowski of Alaska said on Sunday that the directive is shocking if it applies to states like Alaska that used their own money to prop up the program. She said it's one thing if the federal government is going to continue its level of appeal through the courts to say, no, this can't be done with the money that's coming from the federal government. But when you're telling the states that have said this is a significant enough issue in our state and we're going to find the resources to backfill or to front load or whatever term you want in order to help people, those states should not be penalized. And so, again, just to leave this out there with the uncertainty as to where that is, that in and of itself is stupid. And it'll be even dumber if they seek to penalize states who are using their own money.
That would be a huge attack on state sovereignty and a major encroachment from the federal government.
That's right. And it will be something that you can bet will be demagogued by the Democrats. There have been four different directives in 6 days. This is very much like the tariffs, right? Tariffs based on a fake emergency. This one based on a real emergency that was created by the government. And yet they can't make up their minds. And they can't come up with a reasonable explanation for this. So the governor of Maryland said in the past 6 days, we received four different measures of guidance from the Trump administration. He fumed over the latest one that threatened to punish states if they paid full benefits. He said, this is chaos, and it is intentional chaos that we're seeing from this administration. And this is why I say, you know, it concerns me because, just like James Carville, I think the Democrats are going to sweep everything. The Republicans are kidding themselves about this No Kings rally, I said. And you could see it in the elections that we just had. And you're going to see it in the midterms, and you're going to see it in 2028. This is, the Republicans are completely discrediting anyone who wants to talk about real free markets or any reform of the welfare state. They are poisoning all of that. And, you know, whenever you turn around, you know, here's Trump attending another extravagant party at Mar-a-Lago as thousands hit the food banks amid the shutdown. This is the UK Independent. And, of course, it's going to be spun that way. The optics are just so incredibly stupid. Drudge had it at the very top of the Drudge Report. As a matter of fact, he had this still of Trump as Marie Antoinette and said underneath it, let them eat steaks.
Let them eat steak or you fired.
Yeah, that's it. That's the Trump mode of government. We will rule by intimidation, by conflict, and by chaos. Trump attended his second extravagant party at Mar-a-Lago in a week as tens of thousands of federal employees go without pay, leaving some of them and many more Americans to turn to food banks amid the longest government shutdown in history, even the military that is stationed in foreign countries. Another lavish event at Mar-a-Lago, and Trump was seen dining at a table surrounded by MAGA supporters, posing with his thumbs up.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Next to women in ball gowns, the event also featured ice sculptures and an opera performance. Yeah, this is our ballroom capitalism. It is playing into all the stereotypes of corrupt crony capitalism that everybody has. And it is an idiotic, tone-deaf public relations blind to the optics of what's going on. Yes, Lance?
So are these sculptures of people in masks with tactical gear, if it's ice sculptures that they had?
Yeah. If you get too close, the sculptures will spray you with pepper spray. So that's it. Around the same time on Friday, the Trump administration was allowed to continue only partially funding the SNAP program, an order from the Supreme Court blocking the decision of a lower court, which required the government to fully fund SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps. One person that they talked to at the Independent was a bureaucrat, lost their position. I used to be a grants administrator, of handing out grants across the federal government. In other words, giving people money. That's what the government does. Two things that we miss with this shutdown, and that's really what the federal government has become. Handing out money to people, and both the employees of the government as well as welfare recipients. And then the other thing is some functions that they can't manage to handle that are very vital and critical. And so we've really seen what government is. People should not lose sight of the reality of government. When you look at the filibuster and Trump throwing temper tantrums to do the filibuster, he said, if they can't reach a deal, the Republicans should terminate the filibuster immediately, all uppercase, and take care of our great American workers. Again, this is just another example of how he is willing to set very, very bad precedents and or break things for expediency. So, again, the Obamacare fix, still not clear what it's going to be, but they say they're going to send cash to Americans and not to insurers. Why do we have to send our money to the federal government? To have it sent back to us, doled out to us like children on an allowance. And see, this is the Republican plan. No, we're going to give you money from the government. Again, what is that about? That's about control. It's about another form of welfare. I shouldn't have to depend on a government handout for food or for health care or for insurance or for anything else. Got to get the government out of this. I don't want Obamacare, and guess what? I don't want Trump care or Lindsay care or whatever they want to call it. And Trump is already working with these pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and Albert Bourla to put in Trump RX. And that reeks of corrupt crony capitalism right there. But both sides, both the Democrats and Republicans, are owned by the pharmaceutical companies. You know, they got a lot of corporate spot. You know, foreign governments own them, you know, Israel, Argentina, Ukraine. They are tied in with this because, again, they get kickbacks from these different organizations. You give them money, you give them the public's money in massive amounts, and they will kick back some of that money to these corrupt politicians. That's how the game works. Israel does it, Ukraine does it. I don't know how it works with Argentina yet, but that certainly is how it works with the big pharmaceutical companies. And they're not going to really fix this. Trump care is not going to be that much different from Obamacare.
My theory on Argentina is that Donald Trump wants tips on hair from Javier Milei. I think that's why he did it. Your hair is incredible. It's so poofy. I can't get mine to be like that. How do you do it, Javier?
Who does your hair? Yeah, who does your hair? That's right. I could guess. Well, they have the Brazilian butt lift. I guess they got the Argentina hair lift, maybe. replacing insurance with direct cash transfers to people would mean that no one but the very rich could ever receive treatment for a chronic condition like heart disease or diabetes, or an expensive disease like cancer. Well, of course, that's not going to be the case. That's a Democrat talking. They're going to hand out money to the hospitals, and they're going to get this done one way or the other. The issue is, why are we having, you know, yet another program that's going to depend on money from handouts from government in order to get something that is vital? We got to get government out of our life. It used to be that that was the rhetoric, at least, of the Republicans. They don't even pretend that they want to get government out of your life anymore. And they're out there demagoguing, saying, well, you know, Obama's version gives money to corporations. We're going to give you the money directly. I mean, that sounds even more like the Democrats than the Democrats. And so Lindsey Graham says, this whole thing is backfiring. We're going to end the shutdown today. That was yesterday. And I guess the question is, who is it backfiring on? And, this is an amazing mess that we have. And Sean Duffy says that the air traffic control disruptions will live on long after the shutdown. But guess what? He's not proposing to spin off the ATCs at all, the air traffic controllers. Nobody in the Republican Party is talking about getting cutting them loose to do their own thing under the control of the airlines. Nobody is talking about that at all. And it was even proposed in the first Trump administration, but nobody's proposing it now. Duffy said when the shutdown began, he was already short of qualified air traffic controllers. Well, maybe people don't want to work for a government that is constantly playing these types of games. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Travis, you want to cover the comments? Do you have the comments there?
I have some comments.
Travis is joining us remote from Austin.
That's right. A secret location outside of Austin. Very, very clandestine over here. We've got a comment and a tip from DG8. Thank you very much, DG8. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Says David, the Trump's foreign policies have evolved into a clone of George W. Bush, and his economic policies have evolved into a combination of Woodrow Wilson and FDR. Mm-hmm. And MAGA still claims winning. Unbelievable. That's mm-hmm. right. We're winning. Mm-hmm. We're winning so much. And Stealth Patriot, thank you very much, Stealth Patriot. We appreciate it. Says, just like the lockdown, government shutdown's effect on travel is going to have a devastating effect on the economy. Mm-hmm. Everything the government does is an intentional demolition of our way of living.
That's right.
It's all about making us more poor, more willing to put up with whatever they do to us just because we require them to survive.
They've got a lot of ways to make sure that we own nothing. That's right. Yeah, continue. Go ahead. Yeah.
Those are the two tips that I had. Let me see if I've got more comments readily available. We're still working on the system here, folks.
But well, I got a couple from Guard. He says the GOP will never end government-subsidized medical, and they will remove Obama's name and continue the welfareism and subsidies to big insurance companies in some ways. Yeah, you know the insurance company is going to be feeding at the table. They've got too much money, too much control of all these different congressmen that are out there. And he also says, you know what solves government shutdowns? Bombing people in boats. And handing weapons to genocide generators. That's absolutely right. When all else fails, they take you to war. They have the wag the dog thing that is out there. Jason Barker says, they sell replacement spouts for gas cans. They're like a black market item. I want a replacement spouse. I want a replacement spout for the government. It's what I want it for. Yeah, I guess we could probably 3D print something, Lance. You could probably do that for me.
It's truly amazing how through government interference, they managed to make the jug unusable.
Yeah, I know.
A simple container, something we have had worked out for thousands upon thousands of years.
I think we have a new metaphor for how useless government is and the way that it destroys our life. We used to talk about how government was like kudzu. You know, you bring it in to solve a problem, and before you know it, it's taken over everything. Well, I think that the gas can thing is probably the best thing we've come up with yet.
Yeah.
That's even worse than, you know, mandating that the toilets have got to be 1.5 gallons. It took them a long time for the toilet manufacturers to be able to catch up to that immediate mandate to get something to work that way. And maybe they still don't work as well as they used to. But this is just beyond the pale. We should say it's the bucket, right? It's the government is making us all poor. in the strangest ways. And so you can't really even pour this into the car at the angle at which the thing
is. And, of course, you can find Gard Goldsmith during his Liberty Conspiracy broadcast at 6 p.m. on weeknights. You can check him out on Rumble and on Twitter at Gard Goldsmith. Jason Barker, one of the hosts of Knights of the Storm, you go to knightsofthestorm.com to find their schedule, our schedule, Gard's schedule, Tony's schedule. They have a lot of different broadcasts listed there when and where you can watch.
Yes.
So go check out knightsofthestorm.com and Gard Goldsmith's Liberty Conspiracy.
Here's an interesting comment from Bulldog. He said, the company I worked for used to make gas cans, and they used to get sued because people had set them on their furnace, etc. Didn't see that coming.
Well. Some people just don't have common sense. Yeah. Some people absolutely just, they don't get the concept. You don't put fire near the gas can. But
and Travis has all these comments and more.
Okay. You got those comments, Travis?
Yes, I've got them.
Okay. Yeah, the one from Pezzano Vante is absolutely true. I didn't get anything into the car. Spilled it all over the ground trying to use that. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. President Obante said, I spill more gas with those environmental, quote unquote, gas cans than I ever spilled with a spout. Yeah. They make it utterly impossible.
Yeah.
I remember for days we were convinced we were just doing something wrong.
Had three arms or and four hands or something, I could use that thing. But
we all took turns at one point or another just trying to figure out, okay, this can't be how it works. It can't be this ridiculous and non-functional. We're doing something wrong. And then eventually we all came to the conclusion that, no, this is how it's supposed to be. It's this bad.
Yeah.
And we've got Wally Walrus. That guy from The Big Short is shorting Palantir big time. That's right. Michael Burry.
Michael Burry. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
Yeah, he's shorting Palantir and NVIDIA, but NVIDIA is like 16% of the short that he put out there. 84% of it is Palantir. And I don't know. You know, I look at it, and we're going to talk about AI when we come back. And I think that, you know, Palantir is on the side of this where it is the government and using it as a weapon, foreign and domestic. And I think that that is the use case of AI. And I think that's why they're going to give it whatever money they need. I mean, there's the big issue of the bubble and what it's going to do to the economy that's very similar to what happened with The Big Short. Of course, you know, history rhymes. It doesn't exactly repeat. That's the rhyming portion of it there. But then this is different in the sense that they really want AI as a weapon to use against us and as a big part of their arsenal for the wars that they intend to start, which is also a war against us as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Song I wrote, you might want to hear it in your pod. You'll own nothing and be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no car, but 24 booster shots in your arm. Own nothing, be happy. You can't even buy shit in the store because of your low social credit score. Oh, nothing. Be happy. You'll owe nothing. And be happy. Be happy and eat the bugs.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear Klaus, your annual global risk report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our societies.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You are listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, welcome back. And Travis is in Austin today. He's not in the studio. He's got some more comments, I think.
That's correct. We have Jason Barker over here responding to Wally Walrus. Says, they will never get rid of gun control. Why would the NRA make itself obsolete? They bring in too much money.
Yeah, that's right. That's
people involved in the NRA make a ton of money telling you, look, we've got to fight this. And they're right on the fact we need to fight this. But the NRA never seems to accomplish very much when it comes to actually preventing anything or rolling anything back.
I think Gun Owners of America is much better. And, you know, they have been principled all along. And I always liked Larry Pratt. He was very principled. And he's now retired. His son, Eric Pratt, I think Eric is his son, is now taking it over and following along the same pattern of principles. Yes.
Yeah. Was it also National Association for Gun Rights?
Yeah.
I believe they're good, too.
Yeah, we did some work with them. And, and I thought they were very principled, and they also got it. They understood what the important things were, and they weren't going to sell out. And so, you have a couple of different gun organizations out there besides the NRA.
Yes, and a couple of them actually understand what it means when they say shall not be infringed. Mm-hmm. The NRA is okay with just like, well, you know, a little infringement here and there. What's the big deal, guys? Come on, it's only a little infringement.
I can't remember. I can't remember his full name. The first name was Dudley at the National Association of Gun Rights. And
I want to say Brown, but I don't think that's right.
I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, during the break, we tried to work out what my mind was clicking with was Steve Altman. We're going to talk about Sam Altman here. As a guy who did soundtracks, I think that might be where I got it from. But
I didn't recognize any of the movies he did soundtracks for. But
Well, we have a very interesting thing that Lance came across that we're going to talk about. And it is you've got about a dozen different companies out there that are working on ways to scan your brain non-invasively. And then to be able to read your mind and to reconstruct what you are looking at. Truly amazing technology. And I can see no good purpose for this at all. I can see a lot of evil that can come from this, but not a good purpose. This is reconstruction from MRI, a form of MRI called fMRI. We're going to talk about that coming up. But we're going to talk about the AI stuff first. Do you have is that all the comments or do you have?
No, we've still got a couple
more.
Finish Brian
those.
And Deb McCartney says Brian has on his David Knight Show shirt today. Well, good day.
Oh, good.
That's great.
We got another one in the works, and we're going to be doing some more commercials Lance has been putting together some stuff for to make the AI generation stuff more efficient for us.
He's been very, very time-consuming.
And so that's been his extracurricular project that he's working on. And so hopefully that'll help us to get some of this stuff out. We've got some interesting projects, products in the works here, and kind of waiting for commercials that we could put out there, let people know about it.
Real Jason Barker says, if families do get $2,000 from the tariffs, it won't go far at all with the grocery prices. Mm-mm. Yeah. It's not going to get two to three trips and then realize, wait a minute, I'm all out.
That's right. I think the purpose of that, though, is twofold. Number one, just like the stimulus checks, they want to get you accustomed to government checks. Same thing they're talking about with the insurance stuff, right? We want to pay you directly. We want to have cash transfers directly to you. They want everybody hooked, just like all the institutions have been taken over. They got to take over everybody. They want us on the universal basic take, UBT, right? So that we're all getting a check from the government, and we're all dependent in one way or the other on the government. Not just the people who have government contracts, the businesses who have government contracts. We saw how that worked with the vaccine thing, right? So anybody that had a direct job for the government, they worked for the government, or if they worked for a company that worked for the government, they could extend those things. So now they got to get the tentacles out there into each and every one of our lives. But it also puts strings and tentacles into this program that makes it hard to end. That's why Trump is so upset about the SNAP stuff, and he wants to punish the states that went ahead based on the two court cases and gave SNAP benefits to people. He wants to claw that back.
Yeah. Jason Barker also says, just like the stimulus check people were cheering over, it came nowhere close to what people lost due to lockdowns.
Yeah. And I remember Trump's Treasury Secretary at the time, Steve Mnuchin, saying, well, you can't do another. It was like 6 months or 7 months or something after they'd done a $1,200 stimulus check to people. And we can't do another one. It's like, what do you think? People are going to be able to live for more than 6 months off of $1,200? That's the kind of mindset of these guys. You know, the guy that was posing with his trophy wife at the Federal Reserve, where they had massive sheets of dollar bills that they were physically printing there. And the two of them went there and posed. So that's the kind of mentality of these people.
None of the people in power have any real concept of what it actually costs to live anymore.
No.
And it's been that way for decades. I mean, you've talked about it. What I believe it was George Bush Sr. who went to the grocery store and didn't know what a scanner was. He's like, oh, wow, what's that?
They live in a different world. Mm-hmm. They really do.
They have people that do their shopping for them. They have people that buy everything for them. They say, I want this, and someone else goes and buys it.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about the price. They don't have to worry about anything related to that. Everything is taken care of for them. It's a completely and utterly different world.
Nobody more so than Donald Trump. Yes. What, Lance?
The people that are, orchestrating this, the only reason that you can't live off of that $1,200 is because you're going over your budget of 3 articles of clothing and don't leave your house for, don't travel more than 15 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. If they had just lived within their means, the means set by these people in the ballrooms on their private jets, then everything would be fine. You could live forever on just that $1,200 check.
That's why, I look at these people who are freaking out over Mon Danny, and it's like, you never freaked out over the CD40, which is put together by a socialist Marxist, right? A socialist Bloomberg and a Marxist Sadiq Khan. And Muslim, Marxist Muslim, right? And so they never paid any attention to the C40 thing. All of these establishment politicians. So I don't think that's about anything other than a pushback against his anti-Zionism that is there. So
we all know how heavily Jewish New York City is. Mm-hmm. So. It makes a lot of sense. I don't have any more comments at the moment, but briefly, I would like to remind people that it's because of your support that we are able to continue doing this broadcast. We cannot thank you all enough for how you have supported us so far.
Yes.
And if you would like to continue to support us, there's multiple avenues to do that. You can go to davidknight.news and see all the ways there. Subscribestar.com/TheDavidKnightShow is a very good way to do that. It's a fire and forget sort of thing. You sign up at a tier that fits your budget, and then you don't have to worry about it until your card expires or
anything else happens. That's the only thing you have to worry about, is a card expiring or no longer being valid. So it's a great way to support us, and we really do appreciate all the people on Subscribestar who already do.
Yes.
So thank you all very, very much. And DavidKnight.news has all the other ways that you can support us as well. And we want to make sure that you check out homesteadproducts.shop. They have all kinds of high-quality Made in America products that may help you with something that you're working on or need. They've got things like storable food, whether it's freeze-dried eggs that you can just add water to, and there you have a meal. They've got really good hot sauce. I'm not kidding when I say I really enjoy it. I stole that bottle, and I have almost completely used it all up, so I'm going to have to order more for myself. Their hot sauce is delicious. They've got high-quality Made in America products. You can use promo code KNIGHT for 10% off homesteadproducts.shop. And with the economy the way it is, it's a good time to start looking into gold or silver. You can do that at DavidKnight.gold. Tony Arterburn has graciously set that up. And you can sign up for Wolfpack, and he will send you gold and silver, or gold or silver, on a monthly basis, depending on what tier you sign up for. So check out DavidKnight.gold.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
As well.
Yes. And as we're going to talk a little bit about how they want to transform society. But, you know, we're talking about this gas can thing. It reminds me of a video that I had with an article that we didn't get to in the past. It's still in the deck here. A refrigerator ad from 1965. You know, Cory Doctorow, science fiction writer, coined the term enchidification, talking about how software is continually getting worse and worse. And so many of the gadgets that we have are getting worse and worse. Take a look at this refrigerator, for example, right? We now have refrigerators that, as you had David Petraeus, when he was at the CIA, saying we're going to have smart appliances. And your refrigerator is going to be listening to you. And we talked about that after he mentioned it. And people said, you're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. That's not true. And it's like, well, the CIA guy said it was, and now we see it's there. So you got refrigerators that will spy on you, but are they really good for the purpose that they were designed for? Here's a refrigerator from 1965. It's got a lot of nice features that you might want to have in a refrigerator today, except you're not going to get it. One thing it doesn't do is spy on you, which is a feature in and of itself.
Start with the most ingenious door in any refrigerator. It has special places for bottles, spreadable butter, cheeses, even leftovers, and a big picture window hydrator for fruits and vegetables. It tilts down to show you your supply at a glance. And it also lifts out, so you can take it over to the sink when there's a fresh supply to be washed and put away. But that's just the door. Think of all you can store in here on these big firm shelves that roll all the way up to you, so you can get at the food in back without moving anything in front. And how about your frozen things? Oh, yes, there's a place for them, too, in this big, big food freezer. Even your ice cubes have a special place for storage, right here. And watch how they get there. You just take out a tray, turn it over, and push. You get a shower of ice cubes all frosty dry and ready to use.
Now, why didn't we think of that? It's kind of the same thing has happened to our government now. You know, it was designed and worked a lot better than it does now. Everything we're looking at. But the people who see the future now, it's a future that is focused on surveilling you. Sam Altman has denied that OpenAI needs a government bailout. Instead, he just wants massive government subsidies. This is an article from Zero Hedge. About a month ago, when the Magnificent Seven stocks were screaming higher every day without a care in the world, and before the masses had even considered who would fund the trillions of dollars in future capital expenditures needed once the organic cash flow topped out, something that they had discussed in their article, AI is now a debt bubble that quietly surpasses all banks to become the largest sector in the market. We explain why attention would very soon turn to AI companies issuing gargantuan amounts of debt. Again, whether you're talking about the tech companies or government or American consumers, it's all about the credit card mentality. I want it. I want it now. Don't care how much it costs, and I don't want to have to pay for it now. I want to pay for it later, much later, hopefully. AI revolution has turned into an arms race. But the most important aspect of this is the access to energy. Around the time the companies realized that they would no longer be able to rely on either equity or debt capital markets, the U.S. government itself, if it wanted to win the war with China, where the state directly subsidizes local data centers and AI figures, would have to step in and provide the required capital. Remember all these hearings that we had from Google, where we had Google and you had OpenAI's Sam Altman go before Congress and say, you know, we're going to fall behind. And this is so important. It is so dangerous. We've got to get this right. We're the only ones who should be doing it. And we have to get it right for the survival of the country. They've been selling this fear porn, for quite some time. And this is the purpose, because they knew they're going to need to have, and they wanted to have access to government capital. Because a lot of this stuff, folks, is coming from DARPA and that ilk and the federal government. It is an arms race. It's an arms race for a war that is both foreign and domestic. AI's killer use case, folks, is surveillance and control of us. And that's why the government is going to be so desperate to fund it, whatever it takes. If you want to know why gold and silver and Bitcoin are soaring, it's the debasement of the dollar in order to fund the AI arms race, they said. And of course, energy is the reality factor in all of this. That's where it gets real. And that's one of the reasons why Bill Gates and others are moving back away from the climate MacGuffin. The pandemic MacGuffin gives them all the justification that they need, and they need to have this surveillance control and ID, this control grid that is there. They need to have that, and they need to have artificial intelligence to run that. So they're pulling back from that because in order to have the AI control structure, they've got to have massive amounts of energy. So I think this is kind of interesting. You know, when you look at this, the reason gold and silver and Bitcoin are all going up is because they're rapidly devaluing the currency in order to fund this arms race, which is really about energy. And you know, when you look at what the government is doing so many times, you can see the evil that they're engaged in. Like Palantir, for example. I don't want to invest in Palantir. I don't want to fund that. I don't want to be a part of that. But this is a way, if you invest in gold, silver, Bitcoin, things like that, that's a way for you to profit from what they're doing without supporting what they're doing. That's one of the other reasons I like it. And, of course, you can go to davidknight.gold. I'll take you to Tony Arterburn, and he'll help you to profit from this without supporting what they are doing. The money is not the problem. AI is the new global arms race, and the capital expenditures will eventually be funded by governments, U.S. and China. If you want to know why the gold, silver, Bitcoin is soaring, it's the debasement to fund this arms race, because you can't print energy. That's the real issue. Meanwhile, you have OpenAI's CFO, that's the chief financial officer, Sarah Friar, with all the finesse of a bull in a China data center, said Zero Hedge, slammed the growing market skepticism that AI would cure cancer, slice bread, and lead to universal utopia. She said, I don't think there's enough exuberance about AI when I think about the actual practical implications and what it can do for individuals. Well, I look at what it can do to individuals, and that is a really concerning thing. And, of course, that was in response to the exchange I talked about last week where Sam Altman went on a podcast and a fellow billionaire, Brad Gerstner, asked, how can you have a company that only has $13 billion in revenue? How can they afford $1.4 trillion in capital expenditures? And he said, well, if you don't want to sell your shares, I'll have no trouble finding you a buyer. Because, you know, there's plenty of greater fools to go around whenever there's a bubble like this. And, for example, you could take even my own CEO who believes in all this. Sarah Friar said, and what promptly spooked the market on Wednesday, what she said, is a mangled explanation of where the $1 trillion plus is required funding is going to come from. Said OpenAI is, quote, looking for an ecosystem of banks and private equity, unquote, in order to support this ambitious plan. But what triggered the selling is when she explicitly said that the U.S. government would have to, quote, backstop the guarantee that allows the financing to happen. So, you know, when we look at The Big Short, there were insurance companies that were backstopping all the securitization of these bad mortgages. You know, they take all these mortgages that were subprime. They were, you know, rated F or whatever. And if you put enough of them together, then somehow that becomes A-rated.
It reminds me very much of what they're doing with stablecoin, where they're just packaging the dollar in something else and saying, well, right. Now it's stable. We've removed it one level from the dollar, and we know how shaky the dollar is, but now it's a stablecoin.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And so it's totally fine. Invest. Buy.
They should call stablecoin the securitization coin to harken back to the real estate issue that was there.
I remember the first time I did some, you know, we were talking about stablecoin. I did some Googling on my own. It's like, surely they're not just repackaging the dollar. Surely if they're calling it stablecoin, there has to be something. But no, it's their typical rigmarole, their game. It's the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
It's the stablecoin, guys. It's stable. Right. It's safe. You
well,
want it.
They are making some purchases because people see that. They are making some purchases into gold and into real estate. But I think, I don't know if that's going to be, if that's really just window dressing, virtue signaling about that, if it's substantive or not. But yeah, if it's going to be a way to repackage treasury notes that they can't get foreign governments to buy anymore, they want to sell it directly to individuals. And I think that's basically what stablecoin is. It's not... It's not anything that you want. Plus, it's still a digital coin, which means it has all of the surveillance and control aspects of a central bank digital currency. It's just a decentralized digital coin that does all the things that a CBDC did. All the other sources of funds dried up. Clearly a scenario where the company is considering that the company is considering judging by the response of the chief financial officer. The company would then have to come to the U.S. taxpayer. Federal loan guarantees would really drop the cost of the financing, he said, enabling OpenAI and its investors to borrow more money at lower rates. And Sarahhead says, right, because there's nothing like a company with $14 billion in revenue and $1.5 trillion in valuation and $1.4 trillion in commitments. There's nothing like that other than loading up to the gills with government backstopped debt. If only Enron and Lehman could do the same, both of them would still be around. And again, this is, Trump is the perfect president for all this. He's the guy whose entire business life was based on racking up debt and then using that massive debt to blackmail his creditors. He is the ultimate and the perfect president for the technocracy to put in for this particular move, which is what they've done. And it is debt and crony socialism, I think is what we should call it. We've had crony capitalism, but this is crony socialism. He's even going out there and taking positions in various companies. And this is what the Zero Hedge article is pointing out. Said, well, the investors in NVIDIA and these other companies need, and OpenAI, need to think about the fact that the government is going to take a position in this, just like they did recently with Intel and others. So her comments from Wednesday afternoon immediately spooked the market. NVIDIA shares suffered their biggest weekly drop since April. And the reason for the drop is precisely the fact that OpenAI was clearly considering what it would do when the money to fund the trillions in spending, first cash from operations, then debt, then equity, and the circular deals all dried up. These circular deals, of course, that is where you've got NVIDIA out there loaning money to its the people who are consuming its product so they can buy more of NVIDIA's product. Yeah, circular deals. And that's what they're doing right now. And then they report that as big sales booming. Its looming IPO, OpenAI's looming IPO, will come just as the AI bubble truly peaks. So they'll pump it up. People will buy into it because it'll go public. Right now it's closed because Sam Altman took this nonprofit that Elon Musk had set up. He turned it into a for-profit corporation. And then when he does an initial public offering, they will put their money in. It'll peak up just like Trump's cryptocurrencies. And then maybe the not only will that bubble burst, but maybe the entire AI bubble will burst. Be a massive pump and dump. The fact that U.S. taxpayers are basically the source of that money is a little truth that the market wasn't ready to hear just yet. The reaction set off fire alarms and prompted Sam Altman to publish his longest yet post, clocking in at almost 1,100 words, in which he meant to, quote, clarify a few things, unquote, namely that his chief financial officer, Fryer, had misspoken, and that ChatGPT Maker was not seeking a bailout for its infrastructure commitments, and contrary to what his CFO mentioned, he, quote, does not have and does not want government guarantees. Only he does, said Zero Hedge. But you just don't call it a guarantee or a bailout. And he said, Fryer's comment was a carefully planted trial balloon, one meant to not only gauge the market's reaction to what is obviously coming, but also to plant the seed of expectation that one day Sam Altman would crawl to the White House and tell them that OpenAI is now too big to fail, as it would not only take down the market, but 20% of GDP growth. And that's what many people have said. You know, this is a company that could take down the global economy. But, you know, there's a lot of trial balloons like that. I think that the Trump pardons, the rumored pardons about P. Diddy and whether if he does that, as well as the pardon for George Santos and some of these other high-profile pardons of despicable characters, I think those are also trial balloons to see how people react and to prepare the expectations for his pardon of Ghislaine Maxwell as well.
It should also just make people so much more infuriated about what he did with the January 6th people.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to pardon these obvious criminal scumbags. These people
like Jared Kushner's father-in-law. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These people that have used and abused the American people, the legal system in every way they can. But your loyal supporters, the people that trusted you the most, went to D.C. because they were mad that, you know, you had the election stolen. You're going to ignore them and just leave. Like, yeah, well, you know, whatever happens to them happens. They're not one of my billionaire friends. They're not going to give me any more money.
That's right.
I've soaked them for everything they've got. So what
and
use
he did that.
To me?
He, at the same time, he turned his back on them and refused to pardon them before he left office. Subjecting them to 4 years of personal hell. That's when he pardoned Jared Kushner's father-in-law for really heinous crimes. Go back and look it up. And it truly is amazing. But it really is about it's about that. And I think he's preparing the ground for that as well. But getting back to the AI stuff, Trump's tech and AI advisor David Sacks said, quote, "There will be no federal bailout for AI. If one of them fails, others will take its place." Zero Hedge says, well, he said, refusing to let what had by now become the biggest and most uncomfortable market narrative. In other words, why does the company at the forefront of this very important, very profitable AI revolution, why do they need government guarantees or a bailout? I mean, stop and think about this. The stock market has been driven by the expectations for artificial intelligence. Why does the leading company talk about the fact that they're running out of money and they're going to need a government bailout? Shouldn't that be a warning sign about the bubble if ever there was one? So he said, and it got even worse when it emerged that Sam Altman was once again, just like just ask Elon Musk, they said, lying after it was revealed on October the 27th that OpenAI's chief global affairs officer, Chris Lehane, had submitted a document in which they advocated for including data center spend within the American manufacturing umbrella. And they have the article here in Zero Hedge where they've highlighted what he sent to them. Said AI server production and AI data centers broadening coverage of AMIC will lower the effective cost of capital, de-risk early investment, and unlocked private capital to help alleviate bottlenecks and accelerate the AI build in the U.S. So they've already put it in writing that this is what they want. And Sam Altman is lying and saying, we never did that. They said, we have to do this to counter the People's Republic of China. Again, the keeping up with the Joneses. And
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You can't fall behind in this arms race. By de-risking U.S. manufacturing expansion to provide manufacturers with the certainty and the capital they will need to scale production quickly. Again, the credit card society, the credit card mentality of immediate gratification. We can't wait to do anything right, right? Including electric cars, you name it. We've got to change it just like that. And go into debt to put out massive fields of windmills and solar panel and so forth. The federal government should also deploy grants, cost-sharing agreements, loans, or loan guarantees to expand industrial base capacity and resilience. And yet Sam Altman said they hadn't done that. And then somebody found the letter that was actually written about that. You see, it's not anything new, actually, because Trump was talking about this on day one of this administration. Remember, he brought in the Stargate project. He had the Japanese bank, SoftBank. He had Larry Ellison there. And Larry Ellison is a CIA-made billionaire, if ever there was one. And there's a whole article about that, which we won't get to today. But, you know, with Stargate, what was he doing? He was putting together mRNA plus AI. I guess we should just call it mRNAI. Just keep adding letters there like they do the LGBT stuff, right? So now we got mRNAI. And that was going to combine artificial intelligence with mRNA to do genetic modification of people. It's all there, except for the nanotech. Except the nanotech is a part of the actual injections as well. You know, we have that acronym, GRAIN. Genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, and nanotech. And when you look at what Trump is proposing, if you had any doubts this guy is a shill, a front man for the technocracy, just take a look at that very first project, Stargate. It had all of it there, except for robotics. And, of course, robotics is coming in later on. But maybe they'll have the robots will be running the machines that administer all this stuff. But, again, they want to build their own power at their facilities. And that's what Trump was saying on day one as well. He said, yeah, you want to – all these companies are out there. They're going to build their own power plant right there at the facility because you don't want to rely on the grid, said Trump. Because he said the grid is getting really old. It's unreliable. You know, of course, they're not going to fix that for us. It's going to be like the decaying infrastructure of the interstate system and our roads and our bridges. And so we're going to be here stuck with this decaying infrastructure for power while these people build their own superhighways. They're going to have their own nuclear reactors and their own data centers. I think the way to think about all this is to, you think that won't happen in America? Just take a look at the American railroad business, right? We used to have the best railroads in the world in the 1800s, a very extensive network, and they were state-of-the-art. Look at how we have fallen behind. Look at how the rail system is just crumbling. It's far ahead of the interstate system. And, of course, they don't want to maintain the roads for us to travel on either. And so there, now we can add to all of that, to the decaying railroads and to the decaying highways, we can add to that now the decaying power infrastructure. But they will have a power infrastructure, and it will be separate from ours. OpenAI had, in fact, asked the Trump administration to revamp a CHIPS Act tax credit, that's Biden's, to help lower the cost of AI infrastructure, as OpenAI was exploring additional ways that the U.S. government can support an industry-wide data center build-out for AI. So again, from day one, Trump, the corrupt puppet of the technocracy, talking about how we had to have data center build-out at the site of their power at the site of their data centers. So caught up in the latest web of circular lies, this self-congratulating echo chamber, Altman had to publish yet another explainer to discuss just how he sees his relationship with the government now that this very touchy topic was all that anyone could talk about at the end of the last week. Not to mention, he was hammering the NVIDIA stock, which has long been the barometer of sentiment toward the AI bubble. So, again, Sam Altman is putting this stuff out beginning on Friday. And over the weekend, we see he wrote, to the degree that the government wants to do something to help ensure a domestic supply chain, great. But that's super different than loan guarantees to OpenAI. And we hope that that is clear. Zero Hedge says, yes, it is super different. Because what Sam is asking for is subsidies, which is precisely what China is bestowing upon its companies. The only difference is that in China, all companies are effectively state-owned. And as they point out, that is a difference that is disappearing under the Trump administration. That is what he is doing. He is moving in the direction of China and that kind of corporate fascism, corporate corruption. And they know that full well because people like Steve Bannon, you know, and the corrupt billionaire that he attached himself to, that Chinese billionaire, Guo, that's how he became a billionaire overnight as well. Which is not to say that OpenAI hasn't done its homework. The U.S. has a prototype for loans and loan guarantees for strategic industries, as it offered these incentives to the semiconductor industry as part of the CHIPS Act. But by the end of January this year, only $5.5 billion of up to $75 billion have been awarded, per the Commerce Department report. There's one thing for sure. Go ahead and demand, but be prepared to compensate the government by handing over a sizable chunk of equity so that everyone can participate in the upside and not just be stuck with the soaring costs for electricity and water, which are needed to fund the explosion of these data centers across the country. It has already happened with Intel, which gave up a major equity check to U.S. taxpayers in return for U.S. government support. Here's why part was zero hedge. I'm sorry, I don't have any equity in Intel. You know, the federal government does. We're not going to see any benefit from that. This is not taxpayers getting any equity in it. This is the politicians who are getting a lever to control Intel. And they'll use that to get donations from these people. This is not going to be any kind of public investment. This is not like a sovereign wealth fund, nothing at all like that. It happened to the rare earth minerals company MP Materials as well, and all other companies that the U.S. has directly invested in now as part of Trump's new industrial policy. This is not a new industrial policy. It's new for the U.S., but this is something that has been the hallmark of state capitalism for a very long time. And so I think that it is crony socialism, I think, is the best way to describe this. We have to become the Chinese monster that we compete with in order to defeat China, according to these people. Sam Altman said, it's not a loan guarantee. It's just the government, in other words, taxpayers, onboarding the risk for your expansion and the growth of your equity value. That's what Zero Hedge said to Sam in sarcasm. So what do taxpayers get in return? Intel gave them an equity stake. Will OpenAI do the same, or is it just higher electricity prices that we'll get from this? But as I said before, taxpayers are getting nothing. We don't get anything. The government does. And the politicians who are brokering these deals get power out of this. They get power, they get influence, they get leverage with these companies, which they can use to get donations from them and shake them down. So it's still public investment and private profits. And it'll be private profits.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America. America Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And it'll be private power for these people in government. Altman already stole incalculable value by working at an Elon Musk-funded nonprofit for years, with all the inherent benefits of such an organization, as opposed to a traditional corporation, before he uprooted its corporate structure and transformed it into a traditional corporation, one in which he plans to have the biggest chunk of ownership. Now he is doing it again, only this time he hopes to benefit from taxpayers' generosity. As Trump pushes to accelerate AI infrastructure, and again, nothing matters. We got to get that AI. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I have to break. I don't care what precedents I have to make. We're going to get to the poll first. Power demand from computing is forecast to more than double in the U.S. by 2035. Utilities are worrying about straining the grid and the increasing bills if the AI boom falters. Think about that. If we have an AI bubble bust and everybody starts pulling back on their plans to build these data centers, meanwhile, utility companies have gone out there and invested in all this surplus, what's that going to do to your electricity rates? They're going to soar. First American Nuclear plans to build self-sustaining reactors in Indiana to power data centers. The plant will begin with natural gas in 2028, then shift to a 240-megawatt liquid metal fast reactor by 2032 that can reprocess its own spent fuel. The company aims to deploy six such systems, enough to power 1.5 million homes, or maybe one AI data center when you look at this. So in terms of inflation, eggs, gas, and women's clothing are down. Beef, smokes, and electricity are up in 2025. And, of course, electricity is going to continue to soar. And so it's all begun. It's the 1-2 punch of net zero and AI and what it's going to do to our power bills. And so cheap power is the secret to winning the AI arms race, is what they're saying. And as they're looking at it as an AI arms race, that really is what it is. They leaned heavily into this military aspect of it. And it's not just the military aspect of it, but it's also the police surveillance state, digital ID state, and control grid that they have set up as well. And so here's an example. In Virginia, because it's already a lot of big data centers in Virginia close to Washington, big tech now is reportedly gobbling up land for massive data centers in the suburbs. Because, you know, they're going to get financial help for AI from the government. But nobody's talking about doing anything really to help people in terms of housing, for example, right? In the past, government had a goal of making sure after World War II that American families could own a home. And they set tax structure up around that. They even had subsidies, loan subsidies and other things like that to help home ownership. They're not focused on you and I owning a home. As a matter of fact, they want to make sure we don't own anything, especially a home. So now the financial help is not going to be for individuals owning homes. It'll be for AI and for their data centers.
Plus,
here's an example.
The idea of, oh, well, we need to someplace to put this. Let's buy a whole bunch of residential properties in this housing market. That's where they're going to get the land?
Yeah, well, the inflated prices. But, of course, it doesn't matter because they've got money to throw away, these big corporations. But they're going to throw it away so quickly that they're going to need the printing presses of the federal government to help them as well. That's the amazing thing. When you look at these companies, they've got more resources than any companies have ever had in history. They got richer people than anybody has ever been in history. And yet they're spending money so fast they can't even keep up with it. They're going to have to tap in to the money printing presses of the federal government. Amazon reportedly inked a $700 million hotly contested acquisition of land in Virginia for a future AI data center, Locals raged against the prospect of a data center in Dublin Tech Park for years. And they're saying that the impact is going to be tremendous on both the water system as well as the power grid. They really don't care. But, you know, we're talking about Sam Altman as being at the center of this and, you know, the games that he played with the nonprofit seizing control away from Elon Musk, going to Congress and talking about how it is an existential project for the superiority of America and all the rest of the stuff to, you know, weasel out money and lying about the fact that he's going hat in hand to the American government. He's also up to something else. I think Sam Altman is competing for the title of Dr. Evil, being the most evil of the billionaires out there. Now he's involved with genetically engineered babies. It's banned legally, but they're trying to do it anyway. Startups funded by some of the most powerful billionaires in Silicon Valley are pushing the boundaries of reproductive genetics, hoping to prevent disease. That's how they'll sell it. As well as to improve chances for high IQ and other preferred traits. So if we go back to that story that I was talking about earlier, you know, Daniel Suarez's change agent. You know, they would come in and say, well, you know, they have different things that you could, different enhancements that you could get a la carte, right? So you want intelligence, that's one package, and that costs this amount. If you want physical superiority, strength, that's another one. Longevity, that's another one, you know. So they had different, you could pick which enhancements you wanted for your child, limited only by the amount of money that you wanted to spend. So for months, a small company in San Francisco has been pursuing a secretive project, the birth of a genetically engineered baby. Backed by OpenAI's Sam Altman and his husband, again, he's a homosexual, didn't know this about him, along with Coinbase co-founder and CEO Brian Armstrong, the startup called Preventive has been quietly preparing what would amount to be a biological first. They're working towards creating a child born from an embryo that has been edited to prevent a hereditary disease. Just understand that, you know, we look at this Sam Altman and his homosexual husband. This is how I said before, how LGBT dovetails precisely into this. You know, for the longest time, they've called parents breeders, right? And that's all you're needed for is breeders. Then we'll take over your kid. You know, we'll put your child in our school, and we will turn them. We will take your children away from you. They even did songs mocking that whole idea because it is true. And the San Francisco's gay men's choir, remember that? We're going to take your children. Yes, you said it. Now it's true. We're going to do it. And they really are doing that. As a matter of fact, I've got a clip here, if I can find this somewhere. Yeah, this is what this one woman said about this whole transgender thing.
There's a reason that my 17-year-old boy needs to get my consent from the school before he goes even to a pumpkin patch or takes a pill that's an Advil. And that's because I am the parent and the school recognizes that. And yet we are willing to disrupt the parental relationship. A school official thinks that it has that kind of authority. That is not constitutional, and it doesn't serve a compelling interest, nor is it narrow-tailored.
So you're suggesting that the Constitution demands the permission for the pumpkin patch?
I'm suggesting that that practice in and of itself, which is, I mean, we can, every time they play a sport, I mean, all the different ways that this plays out all through adolescence is a reflection of what the common law has been and what the American tradition is, and is a constitutional right under the fundamental right. I have the right to direct my child's education and my child's upbringing.
Let me just say, this has nothing to do with the Constitution. You know, you're saying that the Constitution demands that the school get a permit for your kid to go to the pumpkin patch? Not at all. As a matter of fact,
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
As I said over and over again, government doesn't grant us rights. The Constitution doesn't grant us rights. We have rights because we are humans created by God. They are God-given rights. That's the essence of America. And
what a bad faith argument that was, obviously. Yeah, is, yeah. Oh, so you're saying the Constitution forbids going to the pumpkin patch? Is that they're taking on powers and then saying, where in the Constitution does it say that we specifically don't have that specific power? And, of course, she's equating this mutilation of children to going to a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, yeah. The point the woman was making was that the children don't have the judgment, and we know that. And parents, regardless of whether the Constitution recognizes parents or not, it'd be great if we had a parental rights amendment. And I worked with some people that did a commercial for some people over a decade ago, and I played some of those commercials. And it would be good if the Constitution explicitly recognized that right. But there are a lot of rights that the Constitution does not specifically recognize that we have, and we don't have them simply because the Constitution recognizes them. That would be government-granted privileges. And the government, neither the government nor the Constitution grants us privileges in these areas. The Constitution's Bill of Rights was there to stop the government from trampling certain specific rights that they knew were going to be targeted by the government, such as free speech and free press and protest, as well as the Second Amendment and things like that. So that's what the Bill of Rights is for. But it doesn't grant us those rights. You know, there are other institutions besides government. And there's an institution that was created by God. You know, God didn't just create us as human beings, but he also created the institution of family and of parents. And that's what we're talking about here. But all this ties together. For the longest time, I said, you know, when you look at this transgender stuff, what is this about? Is this about normalizing pedophilia? Because if you say to the kids that are minors that they can determine that they are a different gender that they have, if you presume that they have that kind of maturity, that they can mutilate themselves for life, then, of course, you can say that, you know, they can consent to having sex with adults, right? So you could see that right away they're pushing the pedophile agenda. As time went on and we start seeing this post-humanism and this virtual society and all the rest of the stuff and the fact that they're pushing cyborgs and other things like that, I thought maybe that's how they're going to use the transgender stuff. But underlying all of that is the idea that they want to use LGBT in order and homosexual marriage like Sam Altman is in and like Soros's soy boy Scott Bessent is in. They want to use that to make a case for why we need to have engineered babies because the homosexuals obviously can't have babies. And so we must go, for humanitarian reasons, to this dystopian society of government hatcheries. I think that is ultimately what is behind this. They're working toward creating a child born from an embryo that has been edited to prevent a hereditary disease. Yeah, right. And of course, brain computer interface that Elon Musk and many other companies are working on, that's just there to help the lame walk and the blind to see. And the robots are there to help little old ladies get across the street. And the genetic baby hatcheries are there to help the poor LGBT people who just can't physically have kids. So we're going to create government hatcheries. They'll always fit these narratives in for these types of things. And so that brings us to something that Lance found that I thought was very interesting. And that is the brain interface transference here that is a company that is called, hang on a second, I'll get it right here.
Brain IT
is their thing. And they're not the only company that's doing this. There's a lot of different companies that are doing this. And let's show people what this really looks like. Scroll down and zoom in on those pictures. Now, there's pairs of pictures, and you'll see an image that the person is looking at. It says scene image. Right next to it is the reconstructed image. And look at that. There's a giraffe, and then right next to it is a giraffe. But the giraffe is standing in exactly the same position and same way, and looked at from the same angle. Looking kind of back over its shoulder.
To be clear, the scene image is what the human is looking at, and then there's sensors connected to the brain that's creating the reconstructed image. The computer hasn't seen this scene image. Only the human sees this, and this is entirely constructed from a brain scan.
That's right. So they can sense what you are looking at and completely reconstruct it. And look at how identical these images are. Now, you got a stop sign, and it got the stop sign as well as the word stop. The only thing that's missing there is the four-way thing underneath it. It didn't quite reconstruct that exactly. And then when you look at the pieces of pizza, it is a little bit more orderly in the way that it put the pizza together that's there. But even when it gets some of the details wrong, it still has the basic orientation there. Scroll it up a little bit, the snowboarder that is there. Take a look at the snowboarder. So here the basic orientation is right, even though the snowboarder has one leg up, the arms are still extended, and still in basically the same orientation. It's going down the snow with a shadow that's being cast. But it is, it's truly amazing. Yeah, show the baseball one. That's another good one that's there. So the baseball thing, you got three different people, and they're all basically in the same orientation. The one, again, on the left is the actual picture that the human is looking at. The one on the right is a reconstruction by monitoring his brain, and then the computer is reconstructing that one on the right. And so you've got a catcher who is squatting and has got one arm extended out, and that is captured again. And then the umpire behind him who is in the same crouching position, even though the colors change a little bit. It still has that there. And then moving up to the room, the motel room, look at that. It even has the same color bedspread there. And the one above it, where you have the motorcycle, still in exactly the same angle. And it figured out there's a person on a racing motorcycle, even though it got the colors slightly different on that. It's amazing.
Interesting to me, because it's little details that it gets wrong that, if you were to remember this image, you would probably get a lot of these same details wrong, like exactly the color scheme of their clothes. But
that's right.
It still gets the general color scheme across all three of them.
Yeah, the three people staying there for the skiing thing. And again, the jet, the military jet, it gets a little bit of the details on the bottom that are different, but it basically has it all there. So it is pretty much getting the gist of it, just as Lance said. You would remember that when you come back. Now, what is interesting about this, I think, is the fact that it's not just one company that's doing this. There are at least 11, let's say a dozen companies that are out there. I bet you, we didn't look this up, but I bet you every single one of them has got grants from DARPA or some federal agency, most likely DARPA, in order to do this kind of stuff. You know, what is the use case for something like this? And how did they put it together? Well, this particular company is bragging about how superior their method is. They use fMRI. The MRI scanner that you have, they put you in the machine and you know, scan your brain and things like that. I had several of those done. This is functional MRI. And what it does, instead of looking at the structure of the brain and seeing, you know, are there physical alterations to the brain after a stroke or something like that, it looks at changes in the brain that are happening dynamically over time. And so that's what the functional MRI is about. Rather than looking at the physiology or the structure of the brain, it's actually looking at the dynamic brain activity. And so to train these models, one of the things that this company is bragging about is that they spend about an hour training.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Training it, and their competitors might spend 40 hours training it, and they get far superior results. It truly is amazing when you look at how long they spend training it and how much better their recognition is, you know, being able to sense what you are seeing and thinking about and basically reading your mind. And so it is the Brain Interaction Transformer. They call themselves BIT. Now, what they do, what is the training? Well, it turns out that everybody has these localized patch-level image features. And so they call them clusters, okay? And so they're looking at brain voxel clusters. And they say all humans have this, but these clusters will be located in different places on different subjects. Same thing, but it'll be slightly moved around. You know, when you have a stroke, they call it brain plasticity. And so when you have a stroke, part of your brain dies. And if you get the functionality back, it's because another part of your brain has taken up that activity. And they said, so some very, very young children, maybe in infancy, might have a stroke that would affect, for example, their speech. And what they found is that even though that might reside on one side of their brain versus the other side of the brain, those young children, when they have the stroke that affects the side of the brain where normally speech would be, they found that as they learn to speak, the other side of their brain picks it up. And so that's what's called brain plasticity. In other words, it can adapt and train that other side of the brain to take over those functions. So that's what they're basically looking at here with these voxel clusters. They know that certain things are going to be fired. They just don't know exactly where that's going to be in a person's brain. So they spend an hour mapping those things out, and then they get very, very accurate results. And what they do is they split it into two different aspects. One of them is the semantics, and I think what that does is kind of give them a context. You know, so when you look at how, oh, you got two people standing and they're kind of standing in this particular orientation, picks up that, and then the other one is about more about the details that are there. And then they run these two different paths to get, so first they have programs that are looking at the voxel clusters, creating a kind of semantic context. The other one is creating a context for the features. And then they take the output of those two things and put them into something else that combines and sums those things together to give them that kind of image. It's pretty interesting in terms of technology that is there. But I think it is absolutely abhorrent that they're doing this. I can't think of any reason for them to do something like this. Now, they'll come up with some kind of a fake justification, just like they're talking about with the creating babies with a hatchery. Oh, well, we'll do it to save people from some kind of genetic disease. And they're leaning into that excuse, leaning into that narrative by calling their company Preventive, right? But these are the kinds of things, you know, when we look at this, actually, you know, Lance, pull up the one that says, it's titled Brain Interaction Transformer. And when you look at that chart, you'll see that in their chart, when they're talking about the cross transformer module, they've got that listed there twice, and guess what? They misspelled transformer. I'm being a little bit of a grammar Nazi here, but I got to just say that, you know, we're talking about things like this. The little details matter. And I wonder what happens when you switch some of the stuff and you're reconstructing things and it's a critical mission. I don't know.
To be honest, this sounds a lot more like a Decepticon ploy than the Transformers to me, but what do I know?
Yeah, it sounds pretty crazy to me. Look at one last one here, and that is comparing their images to these other models that are out there. Their company is called Brain IT, and they compare it to some other companies, Mind Turner, Mind I2, Neuro VLA. And so look at this.
They have the best mind reader on the market right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, you know,
the interesting one, I think, is the last one, the Neuro VLA, because it always gets the object correct, but it gets it in a very different context.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that first row there, you're seeing a bowl of some white stuff, maybe it's oatmeal or something, and you're seeing a banana right next to it. And then when you look at the Neuro VLA, they've got a bowl, and then they've got a banana, but it's not at all in the same orientation. And Brain IT was able to do that. And you see that repeated over and over again. They kind of get some of it, but they don't get all of it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. What it reminded me of was this. Mr. Venman from Ghostbusters.
Where? Good guess, but wrong.
Remember that from Bill Murray and the mind reading thing? It opened up Ghostbusters. I wonder if they shock these people who created these models or they get it wrong.
Right. Tell me what you think it is.
Is it a star?
It is a star.
Very good. That's great. Okay.
And yet you can see from behind him that it wasn't.
Think hard.
Circle.
Close.
It's a square.
But definitely wrong. Okay. All right. Ready? What is it?
Figure eight.
Incredible. That's five for five. You can't see these, can you?
No.
You're not cheating.
Of course, that's
right?
Not what it was.
No, I swear, they're just coming to me.
Okay. Nervous?
Yes. I don't like this.
You only have 75 more to go. Okay? What's this one?
It's a couple of wavy lines.
Sorry.
You got it right.
Lucky day. I'm getting a little tired of this.
You volunteered, didn't you? We're paying you, aren't we?
Yeah, but I didn't know you were going to be giving me electric shocks. What are you trying to prove here anyway?
I'm studying the effect of negative reinforcement on ESP ability.
The effect? I'll tell you what the effect is. It's pissing me off.
Well, then maybe my theory is correct.
You can keep the $5 I've had.
I will, mister.
Keep the $5. Yeah, I wonder why they pay these people to go through an hour of MRI.
It's the kind of resentment that your ability is going to provoke in some people.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But now they're doing it for real, okay? They're going to use AI to read people's minds. And again, when they list out a table and they compare themselves percentage-wise to these other people, you see that there are 11 of these companies that are out there doing this stuff. And who is paying them? I bet it is some evil organization like DARPA. Well, before we take a break, Travis, let's look at some of the comments that people have about this.
That's right. Well, we've got Big Brit is back again. These are a bit older. It says donors for Trump's ballroom include Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, Palantir, Lockheed Martin. And that's just a few.
Yeah. Talked about that on Friday. And when you look at it, his ballroom began at $200 million. It's now up to $300 million. And guess what? When you total up the contracts of these companies, they're done $279 billion. It's like the rule of thumb that I've noticed over and over again. And that is you give money to these politicians and you get a government contract back that is roughly 1,000 times the amount of money that you gave them. It still holds up true. It's a pretty good rule of thumb.
No better investment. So if you've got a few $100,000 lying around, maybe you can sidle up to Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Call it ballroom capitalism. Yeah.
Nibiru 2029 says the air traffic controllers issue is Reagan's gift to the nation back in the MAGA 1980s.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Yeah. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. We appreciate it. Wally Walrus says, this is one of the many reasons I don't fly. I like to control my own travel.
Yes. Yeah,
flying is a gigantic hassle, and you are at the mercy of innumerable officious little bureaucrats the second you step into an airport. Audi MRR, and of course, Audi is a faithful viewer of the show, and he has his own now called Everything is a Lie, Damn It. You can find that on Rumble, so go check that out. Everything is a Lie, Damn It. Audi MRR says, once everyone figured out that Trump is protecting a global pedo ring, the powers that shouldn't be have cranked the chaos-o-meter to 101.
Yeah, that's right.
It's become a constant mess ever since the whole Epstein thing started to unravel. The whole Ghislaine Maxwell pardon has people on edge. And Nibiru 2029 says the airline hijackers of the 1970s were also CIA operatives. That's before my time. I'll have to take your word on that. I was not around during the 1970s. And Audi MRR says Tennessee arrested 700 people in 1 year for bogus DUI charges. Add that to the long list of reasons that I don't trust law enforcement. And it's always a bit nerve-wracking when you see a cop behind you. Don't frag me, bro. The powers that be are conditioning people to accept AI-controlled remote flying and driving. NGOs will destroy themselves in the process to help usher in the Great Reset.
Yeah.
Guard Goldsmith. And, of course, as we mentioned before, Guard Goldsmith hosts Liberty Conspiracy at 6 p.m. You can find that on Rumble. says the feds increased the burdens on the truckers, blocked the ports, increased costs for fuel, and then removed the lower priced labor who would take those jobs on the margins.
Yeah, that's right.
A Syrian girl. Did any of you see the reports in Northern Ireland against migrants? Hundreds of thousands in the streets, migrant hotels burned down, lots of injuries, and some police taking the knee before rioters.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got a clip here of the Irish protests that I haven't played yet. It happened about a week and a half ago.
The Irish have long been a very...
So here's the police. Here's the police protecting these people that have been violently attacking the community. Now the community is violently attacking the police. Here we go. Yeah, look at that. Everybody's throwing stuff at them, and they're standing there with it. Yeah, we're back to the Roman Empire, aren't
we? This has been in the deck for quite a while. I believe the start of this was they were releasing had released an immigrant that had committed a rape and...
They're up to... they just said that they've accidentally released a couple of hundred people now. The UK government keeps doing that. And they accidentally let them in, and then when these people commit crimes, they accidentally release them again as well.
You know, whoops. How does that keep happening? Yeah. Our mistake.
Yeah.
Back to you, Travis. More comments, Travis?
All right. We have real Jason Barker. And, of course, Jason Barker, as I said before, is a host on Knights of the Storm, which you can find at knightsofthestorm.com for the schedule for our show, their show, Guard Show, Tony's show, many shows. Go check out knightsofthestorm.com. He says, everyone go get a DK coin. They make great stocking stuffers. When they sell out, there will be a new one in the works with a different finish. Yes. Go check out the David Knight commemorative coin on davidknight.news.
We have not put it up yet, but we do have a bookmarker that looks like the commemorative coin that we had that was larger, that was colorized, and it's the same design on that. And we'll have a commercial out for that and get that on the website pretty soon as well. So that's coming up as well.
And each of these coins each of these coins is a limited run. So
that's right.
Get them while they're still available.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Jason, and thank you for your support.
Yes.
And also, Ryan, for Love of the Road, thank you for your support on that, those commemorative coins as well. Appreciate that.
And we have Nibiru 2029 says, Trump's scamdemic stimulus checks equals the peasants got hundreds, the aristocracy got billions, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The people got a pittance, and those that were rich got obscenely richer.
Yeah.
A Syrian girl. Oh, the good old days. And those refrigerators lasted forever. People only changed them out in order to change the color schemes in their kitchens. Is this progress? That's right. Nothing we own today lasts for very long. It's all meant to degrade and break down rapidly. Planned obsolescence.
Redoing our kitchen in the 1950s or whatever for that pale green. You gotta go get your avocado appliances now to match it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Real Jason Barker says, my smart toaster nags me about gluten. Fun fact about gluten, during World War II, I forget where it was. I think it was a place in France. They ran out of wheat. They couldn't have any bread. The rates of schizophrenia dropped dramatically.
Hmm.
And after World War II, when they started getting bread shipments and wheat shipments again, the schizophrenia went back to normal levels.
Hmm.
So there's something in bread and gluten that the human body doesn't react well with. Me specifically, very badly, but other people in general to a much, much lesser degree that you might not notice.
Probably didn't hurt with a CIA dropping some acid LSD into the water supply there in France either. A couple of towns that they did that with. It was an experiment, of course.
Yeah. Our lovely CIA. You know, what would happen? What if we do this? Let's find out. Apparently, during the height of, when acid was new around the, Manson murder time, in the CIA office, it was considered a funny prank to dose your coworkers with acid.
Oh, yeah.
And it became such a problem that they had to make specific rules about it and start actually punishing people.
Yeah, they were pushing out their Ken Kesey and his band of merry pranksters. And then there was the guy, Olson, I think was his name, who blew the whistle on that. And he wound up getting defenestrated and, killed. They said that he jumped through the window. I have my doubts, but
anything the CIA says, take with a hefty grain of salt, or maybe an entire salt mine. Guard Goldsmith says David nailed it. DARPA is heavily involved. One of their biggies is the FMRI program at USC, the Turby School of Engineering.
Hmm.
That's right. You can kind of just assume with these people.
Yeah.
If
it is something that is something only going to be used for evil, and it's way over the edge of what anybody else would think about, you pretty much guess that it's DARPA. You know, there's an excellent book about DARPA by Annie Jacobson. The problem is that she posits this as if this is all, these horrible programs are all in the past and they've got their act together now. Nothing has changed. They're only more dangerous. So,
when you see mind reading.
The evil, if you don't clean house, it's not going to get any better. And no one has ever cleaned house at these places. No one's ever gone into the CIA or the FBI and said, you know what, clean slate, get everyone out. Now, of course, personally, I would just say, we're shutting the entire thing down. No more FBI, no more CIA. Goodbye, so long, go find a real job somewhere else. But they haven't even gone in and tried to reform the institutions. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no chance these things have gotten better.
That's right. Well, is that it for the comments there? We're going to take a quick break then, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about robotics, because that other part of the nightmare equation, genetics, robotics, AI, and nanotech. We're going to talk about the robotics aspect of that when we come back. We'll be right back.
Penny saved is a penny earned. Though, that's gotten tougher since they've stopped making them.
Wait a minute. Where am I?
Sorry, Jefferson. The scoundrels who put America on central bank fiat currency used our heads on their coins as some sort of trophy. Despicable.
This is outrageous. Washington, I spent my life fighting centralized power. Now the Federal Reserve monopoly parades us around on their monopoly money. Tell me there's some good news to all this.
Well, there is a coin they can't control. One that isn't backed by the Fed, but backed by the Fed up. The all-new David Knight Show commemorative coin. Now patriots can support a show that won't sell out with a limited edition coin that's sure to sell out quickly.
They say money talks. And this coin has something worth listening to. The truth doesn't need inflation, only support.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Well, you want a job? Ditch the degree and pick up a trade. This is an article from Zero Hedge. Yeah, get real instead of virtual. Learn how to actually do things rather than compete with the AI in terms of white-collar jobs. Except that they're thinking about that. Don't think that they haven't thought about how to replace you with that. That's what the robotics are really about. They point out that over 7% unemployment rate in Canada, the highest it's been in a decade. And for those under 25, the unemployment rate is 14%. The usual rules for getting started on a promising career no longer seem to apply. A university degree does not open the doors the way that it used to. This is from Epoch Times originally. They said, and then also they brought in so-called temporary foreign workers into Canada to fill jobs that even in times of high unemployment, Canadians would not fill. For instance, agricultural jobs. Many of the more attractive jobs are now or soon will be replaced by AI. And of course, you know, there's a lot of talk from the people like Elon Musk and Ramaswamy. Trump just endorsed Vivek the Snake in Ohio for governor. That should tell you everything you need to know, along with the fact that he's been working on self-amplifying mRNA. He's got investments in that just like J.D. Vance does. But remember the when Ramaswamy was running for president and he and Elon Musk were talking about how they need to have all these H-1B visa people in because Americans just couldn't do the work. Well, that really isn't true in terms of the STEM stuff. And we've talked about that for the longest time. A lot of the people that are being brought in with H-1B visas, they're hiding those jobs. They're making them available to people from India, for example, without making them available to people in America simply so they can hire people at a lesser price. But there are a lot of jobs that Americans do not want to do. As a matter of fact, we tried to get some help in terms of doing some weeding that I'm not really capable of doing anymore, and called the local college around here, and they said, well, no, nobody wants to do anything like that. You know, they might do lawn mowing if they've got a rider mower or something, but they don't want to get down there and actually do the weeding. So there is a difficulty doing that. Now, I don't know if you're going to, I haven't seen Elon Musk making the case that his robots would do the weeding for you yet, but we're not in the market anyway. And so Elon Musk had a dog and pony presentation, but the bigger picture here is being laid out by the guy who is a Nobel Peace Prize winner and one of the founders of the AI industry, a prominent figure in that, winning a Nobel Prize in that, Geoffrey Hinton. And basically he's saying the AI industry cannot be profitable unless it replaces human jobs. And so he says to make money, you're going to have to replace human labor, and you're going to have to do that with AI and with robotics. And he said the future for AI in its current form is likely to be an economic dystopia. He said, I think the big companies are all betting on it, causing massive job replacement by AI, because that's where the big money is going to be. He said, asked by Bloomberg whether the jaw-dropping investments could ever pay off without eviscerating the job market, his reply said, I believe that it cannot. I believe that to make money, you're going to have to replace human labor. So Jason Sadowski, in his recent book, The Mechanic and the Luddite, said AI promises to solve the problems of capitalism by unlocking exponential growth, eliminating labor costs, de-skilling workers, and optimizing efficiency and manifesting in a slew of other outcomes. Doesn't that sound like Marxism?
Problems of capitalism are the government. It's not these things that he's imagining.
That's right. That's right. This is a Marxist take, and this is why George Gilder called the people in Silicon Valley, called them neo-Marxists, and he hit the nail on the head, as far as I'm concerned. That seemingly irrational hype behind AI is really a hope that the tech will usher in a new era of social development, which will finally make workers obsolete. If that comes to pass, the horrible consequences aren't set in stone, said Geoffrey Hinton. He says, it's not like nuclear weapons, which are only good for bad things, he said. It'll do tremendous good, and in fact, if you think about it, increasing productivity in many, many industries, that should be good. Yet who benefits from that tremendous good depends on, he said, how we organize society. A comment which wouldn't sound out of place, says Zero Hedge, if it were written in a certain 19th century manifesto. Which one would that be? The Communist Manifesto, of course, right? By Karl Marx. An executive, publishing magnate, Keith Riegert, says that there's only two possibilities for AI. It's either going to collapse the economy, if it doesn't work out. Or if it does work out, the use case is to take everybody's job and make everybody's jobs obsolete. Not a good prospect if those are the two choices that are there. I think, though, that there is a third choice, and that is that the government, maybe it won't take everybody's jobs, and maybe it won't collapse the economy, because maybe the AI bubble won't burst, but we will live under a dystopian control surveillance grid, because that's what the government will use it for. So there's a third alternative, and not any of these three alternatives are anything that I would like to see happen. And so when we look at what happened with the humanoid robots, we had a big dog and pony show with Elon Musk, where he is talking about his use case for the robots. And it was part of his discussion as to why he deserves to get paid $1 trillion.
And, around out our engineering headquarters in Palo Alto, the robots are just walking around the office 24/7 with no one minding them. They just, and then they go charge themselves. And
do they do anything useful, or are they just useful, so useless eaters of electricity?
The scale of, of Optimus, like I said, that's really going to be something else. I think it's going to be the biggest product of all time by far. Yeah. So, like, bigger than cell phones, bigger than anything. I guess a way to think about it is that every human on Earth is going to want to have their own personal R2-D2 C-3PO.
Not me.
So who wouldn't?
Me.
But actually, Optimus will be even better than them. You know, like, R2-D2, it's kind of beep at you, and it's kind of hard to figure out what he's talking about. You need C-3PO to translate. But Optimus is going to be, everyone's going to want one. I think in terms of industry providing products and services, I think it's probably, 3 to 5 robots in industry for every, one that's a personal robot. I think there could be tens of billions of Optimus robots out there. Now, obviously, it's very important we pay close attention to safety here, because we do want the Star Wars movie, not the Jim Cameron movie.
Terminator.
I love Jim Cameron's movies, but you know what I mean.
A little bit of an evil laugh there.
So, the fastest production ramp of any product, of any large complex manufactured product ever. And starting with building a 1 million unit production.
Okay, so Brian Chilhavi called him out on that at Health Impact News. He called it Elon Musk's worship service. He introduces the new Tesla cult belief system. And he said, to him, it looked kind of like a Christian worship service. The first part of the meeting was about business matters. Once that concluded, it was time for the worship service, with Musk functioning like a pastor, giving his utopian vision for the future where there will be no poverty and that everyone can have anything that they want, where money won't even be needed, prisons will be eliminated.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Because Optimus robots will get rid of all the crime. He said, it's not just a new chapter in the history of Tesla, but a whole new book. In other words, a new religion with its own new Bible, with a religious dogma described as sustainable abundance. Again, this is Health Impact News, Brian Shalhavi. He said, Musk defines this new religious belief centered around the Tesla Optimus robots. Should have called them the optimistic robots. He says, you'll notice that nothing was said about Musk failing to keep his promise from earlier this year that there would be at least 5,000 Optimus robots purchased this year. We're here in about the middle of November, and so far zero have been sold. This is a guy who is not just, he is a failed prophet, but his prophets have, with an F, have not failed at all.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that these robots aren't going to be a very disruptive and probably negative thing, but right now they don't really exist.
That's right.
These companies, you know, there was the big news story of the first humanoid robot that you can buy. Well, you can pay for it now, and then they'll send it to you when it's ready, assuming they are on time. But the AI that runs it still isn't done yet. All the demos they had of this world's first humanoid robot was just a guy remotely controlling it with a VR headset and controllers.
That's right. And we just saw that with the Neo, it was, I think. And, you know, it was this robot that was wearing a soft cloth to make it look nicer. It didn't have hard plastic or metal. And it was going to be like a C-3PO, you know, a silent version of C-3PO. Because who wants to have a chattering gay butler hanging around them the entire time like C-3PO? I think they'd get pretty tiresome pretty quickly.
I say.
So, yeah, these are silent butlers. And yet the reality is, they admitted it, that it's actually an Indian, that kind of AI that's running it. It's actually humans, probably in India, who are sitting there controlling this thing remotely and watching everything that you do. And if that isn't creepy, I mean, you know, you've got this bipedal robot walking around your house, but it's actually a bunch of other people somewhere else watching everything that's going on inside of your house. And here's another aspect of this. If they start to actually implement this, I can imagine that it's going to be a huge part of this is going to be the surveillance. They want the data that this thing is going to learn from you and from being in your home, just like they watch you on the internet. And social media and all these other companies are all aggressively pushing to have access to that data. That's part of what this TikTok fight was about.
Yeah.
They all want the big compute data. So that gives them an opportunity to start collecting information about you in the real world, about you, maybe your politics and your religion, but other aspects that they can sell and monetize to AI. Yes, Lance?
Because this AI in the robot is never going to replace the human. It was always, their end goal was, oh well, a human will take over when you give it a new task, and the human will teach the robot how to do it, and then the robot will be able to do it from there on out. But you know, they'll always have a feed from your robot into your home.
That's right.
Will always have a person that will take over from time to time.
Yeah, really, really, really creepy. And so we go back and we look at this, you know, the aspect that you know, when Elon Musk first came out with his robots, everybody was laughing about it because he had people in suits and they were jumping around and everything. People were like, that's not a robot. That's a human being. And so they've got this aspect of it. But I want to show you this Chinese robot display where they went to great lengths to tell people that this robot, which is walking, they have it filled out like a woman in terms of profile, right? And it's got this nice, you know, feminine walk that it has, you know, swinging the hips and things like that. And so they go to a great deal of trouble to show this is actually a robot. Listen to this. It's all like a magic trick.
Eyes on
comes to prove it is itself. But I believe the future will prove that this self-verification of the robot will promote the healthier and more vigorous development of the entire Chinese robot industry. If so, it
again,
will be worthwhile.
Female form and walking smoothly in kind of an interesting way.
Our team had intense arguments and discussions about how it can prove itself. Let's first invite the staff. So we found a forced, no, a way. We want to use scissors to open below the robot's legs. We will see that this robot has skin, muscles, and bones. Before us, we ourselves have not tried cutting its skin and muscles while the robot is powered on.
That sounds like a magician's trick, right?
So in the last hour, we decided to do this. Our
ladies
robot
and gentlemen,
team was
never
very
done
opposed.
Before.
They were
we
worried
just decided
it
to
might
do this.
Fall. They were worried it might get damaged anyway. How about giving them a round of applause?
Yeah,
we have never cut it open before.
They're cutting
so
the
I don't
clothing.
Know what will happen
they're not cutting bone and muscle and skin. It doesn't have bone, muscle, and skin. You can see this as they cut through it. Sped this up and silenced it here.
Thank
but,
the staff. Please step off the stage.
The stuff that was
thank
there was just
you.
Covering.
Can
there's nothing that's functional.
It's just padding and, yeah. and a cloth cover. But
it's padding and a cloth cover, and he calls it muscle, skin, and bone. But now, look, we cut that away so that you can see it's actually a robot. Because it was walking very, very smoothly. I mean, it had some lumpiness on its legs there from the metal stuff that's there. But it is walking very smoothly,
we
you know,
believe
like a woman.
We don't need to prove anything else. It is definitely a robot, right?
And the funny thing is they've got other videos of this robot where they show it walking around without the padding and the cloth cover for it. So clearly they knew they could have just shown that, but no, they've got to do this big reveal.
You know, this reminds me of this magic trick that you've seen over and over again where they've got somebody leaning forward on a table and covered up so it looks like they've only got a woman from the hips down. And they got like a short skirt, you know, nice legs and everything. And so it's just like two human legs walking along propelling this table. Everybody's seen that. And now they've done that same trick over and over again. Not such nice legs, but then they open up the table and show you, look, it's actually a guy who's laying down here. But yeah, that's what that reminds me of. It's like, oh, look, this is like a little magic trick. Ladies and gentlemen, this has never been done before. We just thought of this just before this. And we're going to show you, we're going to cut through all the skin and the muscle. And they didn't cut through any skin, and the muscle is pneumatic actuators there with a metal skeleton that it's moving. So again, Musk wants you to believe that there will be a million of his new robo taxis, a cybercab, without steering wheel or brakes, starting next year. Notice he claims they will reach a million a year in production of Optimus robots, and that each successive year there will be a new and updated version of Optimus at the production level. That's right. Marky Mark, thank you for the tip. Says, shouldn't we have an intelligence gathering, though? Other countries have spy agencies. Don't we need one, too? Yeah, you know, we should take over our countries as well. We should do everything that they do, because I think that that's the only way to beat these monsters is to become a monster ourselves. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.